welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
That was a close one. 866-901-ADAM. What's happening there, kiddies? Good morning, Teresa Strasser.
Good morning, Adam Carolla.
Morning, Danny Bonaducci.
Good morning, Adam Carolla. Teresa Strasser. Big O'Brien.
No.
Almost couldn't get in the building.
What happened?
My wallet somewhere. I don't know. I don't know if my wallet's floating around in my car. It's in my house. I'm not sure where it was, but I didn't have my card to get in. I had to bang on the door.
Does that get you anywhere?
Banging on the door?
Yeah.
Well, around here, it's great because there's always three or four people standing around doing nothing. So no one's like at or in their office doing anything. So thankfully, Mike was just standing around the hall. So I banged on the door and he saw me.
I'd have been out of there smoking a cigarette waiting for you to show up and then walk in with you.
That would have worked, yeah.
Except today I arrived really early to set up my computer so I could shut down this computer and concentrate just on the genius that is Adam Carolla. I brought my own computer for the next room because sometimes information comes up on this computer in front of me and grabs my eye and I have to read it.
Well,
who's talking, Brian? Sometimes.
Right. You can muss with your computer. I don't take any offense to that.
No, I don't offer any. I do offer attention deficit disorder. Bright, shiny things pop up in front of me and all of a sudden you go, right, Dan? And I say, huh?
I have that too, but I don't get distracted. I get distracted by everything, but whatever it is I'm looking at doesn't really sink in. I mean, which is to say, I guess there's those kind of people where you go, I've never had this happen in my life where somebody said, right, Adam? And I went, huh? What? Like, what were we talking about?
Oh, God. I do that even when I'm paying attention.
What I do is the opposite of that, which is I stand with people, and while other people call their name, alert them that their name is being called.
Right.
Which probably, here's the deal. You're either one guy or the other guy, or you're in between. So here's how you know if you have, I know it sounds like everyone, but
I kind of got everybody.
Well, what I mean is if you're a guy who's out of it,
right,
then your name is Mark, and you're talking to me, and we're at a party, and I hear your wife's voice going, Mark, I need help starting the barbecue. And then I hear again, have you seen Mark? And then I'm standing face-to-face to Mark, and Mark's standing half a step closer to where the voice is coming from than I am. And then his name is Mark, and I say, Mark, your wife's calling you. And he goes, she is? Now, I've clued into his name and his wife faster than he has. So I have the deficit problem. That's one end of the spectrum. The other end of the spectrum is the guy named Mark. So we're both at different ends.
Right, sure.
He's the out-of-it guy. I'm way too hyper-vigilant guy. And then there's most people who's everyone in between. He's a guy named Mark who hears his wife yell Mark and says, excuse me, I think I hear my name.
Right.
That's who most people are.
There's a fourth guy.
There is.
Yeah. Mark, you're standing a little closer. Hey, Mark, I hear your wife. I hear her, too. I don't want to talk to her.
Yeah, there's intentional tune-out. There's intentional tune-out,
I called my wife, I think, since 2003. Just been calling her name since she'd show up.
Never.
Not a chance.
I don't know, T, which one are you?
I think I'm a sponge for people's moods. If anyone in the room is in a bad mood or on another floor in the building or maybe a couple blocks away, I'll know.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, you have now I'm trying to think. I don't want to offend anyone in the room, but
can it be Danny if it's anyone?
Okay.
Good enough for me.
He's not sensitive.
If you have a kind of a narcissism where you look out for number one, you think about yourself. You don't mean any harm to other people. But you're focused on how does this affect me? I'm not involved with this, or I am involved with this.
Okay.
But I don't have it. It's like news. As far as news, you're not a big news guy.
I'm just following you, right?
Right.
Yes, I'm not a big news guy.
Because it's just stuff going on that you're not really involved in.
If it's not happening to me, it's not happening.
It's not news. Yeah, and we all have that. And the closer you get to home, the more it involves you. I always say this. I always use this for some reason, but I don't know why, because it's mass numbers. You'll hear about a ferry turning over in the Philippines and 600 people die, and it's barely a blip
right.
on your emotional radar. Why? You don't ride a ferry. You don't live in the Philippines. No way you knew any of those people. And when it comes to 10 people in Kentucky in a coal mine, it's actually even more tragic because it's on this soil.
Right.
And those people kind of look like you.
Right.
Eventually it gets to your house and then you care. Now, Teresa might be the kind of person that weeps openly after a couple Xanax and some red wine, but weeps openly over the ferry turning over in the Philippines.
Right.
I don't know why.
Yeah.
You're empathic or you're depressed or you're in tune or whatever it is.
Perhaps all three.
Danny, more interested in what goes on in his house.
Okay.
Per se. Now, the thing about the narcissism, it actually can work. I mean, you can be really successful and it can help other people. Like, I believe Madonna and Oprah are huge narcissists that build a lot of libraries in Africa.
Right.
They put their name on it, but we get
a library.
We get a library. The kids get a library. I think the more narcissistic you are, if we're agreeing, that's you, Danny.
We're agreeing for the purpose of this conversation.
Right. Well, I think we can agree everyone has an amount of narcissism.
Oh, I'm not.
If you ask, right. If you ask every human being, who would you like to see die, you or the other guy on the bus that's sitting at the end? It's always the other guy.
Wait a second. I will take me every time.
No.
Sweet relief.
Yeah. No, but listen, T. I don't want to argue with your non-narcissistic ass, but I really do think that if you're on a crowded bus and there's a stranger in the back of the bus and you're sitting in the front of the bus and someone comes in with a 44 and puts it underneath your chin and says, "All right, forget about the individual."
Yeah.
It can be you or it can be anyone else in this bus.
Right.
99.9999, including Teresa Strasser, in that one moment when the gun's under her chin, says, pick someone else. I mean, that's where we all begin. I would say if you don't have that, you're really not alive at this point.
A basic survival instinct, you're saying.
Yeah, it's almost that. And then from that point, I think it just keeps going up. It just keeps going into different levels or on to different levels. Teresa, you have, and some of this is self-esteem, too. Maybe there's a part of you that, Teresa, that thinks, if I don't listen, I could get into trouble.
Yeah, that's true.
Someone might not like me.
Well, yeah, I feel like if I'm working very hard and tuning in, I have a better chance of people liking me.
Right, like you're almost dancing, but there's no music playing. Like you're, you know, you ever see that person, like when the person meets their favorite celebrity and their eyes are as big as saucers and they're trying to suck everything up and they're just like, you know, that's sort of like they're not actually even talking, but they're still emitting or emoting this like,
I don't know what you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about?
I do.
You know what I'm talking about?
I do.
All right. So now the Teresas of the world are trying to please. Danny wants to be loved, but not trying to please. What do you think of that?
I think you're wrong.
All right, tell me.
I will tell you, I want to be loved so desperately that I overly please. That my trying to please becomes cumbersome.
Don't cry!
Right. But, if Bald Brian is telling a story, T is tuned into Bald Brian telling a story, and you're more apt to look at whatever's going on the computer.
Right.
So you're not trying to please Bald Brian while he's telling a story. Teresa's actually trying to please him while he's telling his story. Or is that true, T? Do you ever think of it that way?
I think of it two ways. One, yeah, I really do try to listen, some of that is because I find people very interesting, and I'm genuinely curious about what they have to say and who they are. So part of it is, I want to be viewed as a nice person that's listening, but I also am very interested.
But you know, on the other hand, when Brian is telling a story, the first thing that pops in my mind is, why the hell is Brian talking?
Well, you know where it goes badly for me is that I'll listen to Brian's story and then I'll react, however, and then 4 hours later I'll review how I reacted and find fault and wish I had said or done more.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, to me, it always boils down to this person. Some people tell stories and other people just nod and go like, uh-huh, oh, no, yeah, oh, exactly, no, right. As a matter of fact, they do too much of it. Sometimes they get ahead of you with the, yeah, uh-huh, no, I know what you're... And you do that thing where you go, I went to the movie. Actually, Dr. Drew is this person. You go, I went to the movie and I was really disappointed because...
You were sad.
Yeah. And he'll even jump ahead from a scenario standpoint. You go, oh, I had a horrible time at the movies the other night. I go to the movies. They're sold out. And I go, no. And he goes, oh, the movie was really bad. And I go, shh. Just relax. I'll tell you why it was that. It's almost uncomfortable for him to exchange the feelings. So he's like stays a step ahead of you in the feeling department. Yeah. So there's a weird balance. You don't want the guy who's up ahead of you, who's just more caught up in your story than you are, because that's a form of not listening. But you don't want the person that's looking down at their computer screen and going, huh? I mean, there's some people that don't even make a audible whatever. Huh? They just tune out.
I had to make this point just the other day. You know, I'm involved with new people and new lives and people that don't know the way I work. And I had to say to someone 50 times, my stories are complete. They don't come with questions. Mm-hmm. They don't come with, when that happened, did you do this? I will tell you a story from, I got up, I came and I saw Adam. Adam tripped and he fell down the stairs, but thank God he's okay. Now the story's done. Now you can ask your questions. But when I say, I went to work with Adam, was he on time?
You're right.
Yeah, he was on time. So anyway, we took a walk towards the stairs. He doesn't smoke, does he? Shut up! There's a story with a beginning, a middle, and an end. It's going to be brief. It's going to be in your lifetime anyway. In the span of your lifetime, it's going to be a very brief story. Let me finish it.
The horrible second cousin to this person is the person that does not let you finish your hypothetical.
Oh.
You do. Dr. Drew's wife does this all the time. Used to do it to me. But there are other people out there where you go, look, either we're going to take a cab to the airport. Like, you do that whole thing where you go, it's one of three scenarios. Either we take a cab to the airport. I'm not paying for the cab. Okay, just let me finish. Either we take a cab to the airport. I'm not paying for the cab. Scenario. Number two, I'll pick you up and drive the airport. Well, you live closer to the airport than I. Okay, just let me finish. There's some people that can't quiet the noise in their brain, so much so that you can't do a scenario with them. I'll tell you one thing I like in a person. I like somebody who can finish a hypothetical off. There's a lot of times, like when you're screwing around with somebody and you say to some chick at the office, who'd you rather sleep with? Herb down at the end of the hall, Fat Herb? Or would you rather sleep with the weird guy who changes the vending machine, Ass Crack Sandy, that guy? Which one? And they go, I wouldn't sleep with either one of them. And you go, no, but hypothetical. Yeah. If I had a gun to your head and you had to sleep with one, I wouldn't sleep. I wouldn't do it.
Pull the trigger.
Okay. It's a hypothetical. Herb or Sandy? I'm sorry. I couldn't do either. Really? You can't even engage in a hypothetical. You're that locked off.
I always bring them back to the, and now I question the sport and the area, the Chilean soccer team. Like, You wouldn't eat the dead guys after being in the snow about 6 months?
Yeah, you would.
Yeah, you would. Why they were still alive if it went one day longer.
They were from Uruguay. And they were going to play in Chile.
Right.
And they lived
out of here on the air.
They lived on that effing mountain, that snow-capped mountain. In the fuselage of the plane.
They lived with your co-host on that TV show.
Not for
Fugelsang.
Not for 5 days. Oh, wow. I didn't even get that one.
Close.
Not you for 5 days or a
if
week.
If I'm going to look at my computer and be funny simultaneously, pay attention to one.
I drifted off. Well, the fuselage and fugal saying, that's a toughie.
It is.
Plus, I tune out Teresa's life outside of the show anyway, so I don't know what else she does. These guys lived on a snow-capped mountain. They lived in snow with no food and no anything for 3 months.
Did you read the book Alive?
No, because it has a words in it.
Oh, wow.
And I don't do those.
But you know where to get a book.
Yeah, you go to that place where they lend them, the homeless guys read the newspapers on those big wooden sticks. What the hell's that place called again?
The library.
Oh, that's right. I remember it well as a young lad when my 42-year-old dad was going in to borrow Herb Alpert records that were worn.
Hello?
What a retard. Did you hear him trying to downgrade his age?
Oh, great.
I was like, hey, Dad, true or false, when he was on the show last. I was like, Dad, you used to go to the North Hollywood Library and rent records as a adult in your late 30s. And he's like,
yeah.
Mid-30s, like that. I'm like, yeah, early 40s, maybe.
Who would lie about their age?
Just everybody. When it comes to your parents, you guys ever do this? You ever do the age math and then get angry? Like when you're a kid, your parents are just your parents. They're just adults.
Yeah.
They're just adults. But at a certain point, you hit 38 or you hit 35 or you hit 41 and you go, when my dad was the age I am now, he got separated from my mom. I say separated because a divorce was $85 and didn't want to pay that. He left the house, although there was nothing to settle up because he didn't own as much as an ottoman. He then had not enough money to get his first crappy apartment on Laurel Canyon, the one bedroom with the green funky shag. So he crashed at his in-laws' house in North Hollywood, the one with the one bedroom and the one bathroom, until he got his S together. He was my age.
Yeah.
Wow.
Now,
wow. And then you think, that guy was raising me? Holy S.
He was in charge of you.
He shouldn't have been in charge of... He shouldn't have been in charge of his flugelhorn.
Well, I'll tell you a weird moment I had with my pops last night. I'll make it brief. You know, my parents are living together now, even though they've been divorced since I was three.
No,
because
no,
my, I know that. Because my brother's in the hospital.
Oh, yes.
He's been in there for now.
Oh, I've been this whole time.
Somebody's in D.C.?
Mm-hmm. My brother's at Johns Hopkins. He just had this tumor removed, and he's been in the hospital 3 weeks. He's going to be in serious recovery for almost a year. So both my parents rented a room at Johns Hopkins. They're living together, and it's very odd.
Wow.
But I talked to my dad last night. Of course, I call them every day. And out of the blue, he said, you know, I really like your mom. She's really a good person, and she really fights for your brother, and I'm really appreciating spending time with your mom. Then he took a beat, and he said, in a platonic way. Wow, this would be so super creepy.
At least he got that out there, though.
Yeah, he made sure to put that out there. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, but it's like nice that they're getting along.
My grandma pulling out the water-soluble lube after my grandpa bit the dust and saying, well, I won't be needing this anymore.
It's weird when people change characters. During my marriage, I was a very, very bad husband. And I put real emphasis on both varies. Not like just the second very.
Mm-hmm.
Not like very, very. They're both that big of varies.
Okay.
Really?
And she's not very good during the divorce. And I am.
Mm.
The other day I went to get a piece of a couch. This is an 8,000 square foot house that she lives in. And it's mine. She bought it for me as a gift.
Yeah.
And she started to cry. Said, just take it away. So I went out to our sponsors and I got a deal on some stuff, but I spent a third of my savings furnishing a house so I wouldn't take one stick of her furniture.
Furnishing your new place.
Yeah. Because she became attached to things.
I got questions because I know the real estate market sucks now. And it is a horrible time to sell an 8,000 square foot house. Los Angeles doesn't get it as bad as the rest of the country, but it's bad. Not as bad, but bad. If you sat on that house for 18 months, things would probably bounce back. They always do. And you'd have another 900 grand in your pocket.
Right.
Is there any chance you can do that?
Yes.
Oh, good.
We actually just talked about that. After 2 years with me out of the house, there becomes some serious tax ramifications to me. Mm-hmm. Once you say the words tax and ramifications, I now have no idea what you're talking about. It's like I owe the government more money for no good reason.
If you sell it after you haven't lived there for 2 years, you're going to have some fat capital gains. There.
No, it's not that. It's not the problem. It's something about me being out of the house. I don't know what it is. I don't understand it. But I mean, that's what I mean about her being a better human being all the way through the marriage.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's like, I want to keep the house. I want to do this. That's my furniture. Honey, it actually has my name engraved on it, Gretchen. It says Danny Bonaducci right on it. It was an award. Well, I helped you win that award. You'd have never won that award if it weren't for me. I love that award. And I went, keep the award, man. No problem. Family albums of my picture, kids. Okay, fine.
Yeah.
I'll see them again and take more pictures.
I feel like it's probably payback time.
Yeah, so do I.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right, we need to take ourselves a break. This felt good. Cathartic.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you don't want to get too involved in trying to pay me back.
Bold Brian, you have yourself a little drop of our own in-house stoner, Dawson. At the green carpet, doing the green carpet interviews at the Stonies. Is that what it's called? The Pot Smokers Award Show?
The High Times magazine Stonies.
Can we have a little tease?
Now, on a scale of 1 to 10, how high are you right now?
Right now, I'm 10. This is about as high as you can get and still talk to people.
Joe Rogan.
There's a lot of other celebrities. I think Seth Rogan is out on the carpet, too, from all those hot movies. Miss High Times. Chong. What a shocker.
Yeah.
Chong popped up on the green carpet. Surprised he didn't roll it up and try to smoke it. Take a quick break. Interviews from the green carpet at the Stony Awards next.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser. As the resident stoner on the show, I went out to the High Times Stony Awards and chatted it up with the burner B-list.
Be Real from Cypress Hill. Have you ever performed sober?
Once in Europe somewhere when I was too paranoid to take the herb with me.
A little trip down the green carpet on the Adam Carolla Show.
I knew that Seth Rogen was a huge hasher by his pot laugh.
Yeah.
That is always quite
the
pot laugh.
Always could tell from doing Loveline when you hear that there is a pot laugh. And when you hear it, and you've been doing what you've been doing for 10 years, you just perk up. It's a tell. I don't know. You become like a dog, and you just hear certain things, like hearing the rattle of a chain for my dog. It hits me in a spot, and I'm never wrong. If Drew and I would ever hear the pot laugh once in a while, we'd say, you smoke a lot of pot, right? And they'd go, no, I don't. We go, oh, yes, you do. And they go, no, we don't. No, I don't. And then you go, yes, you do. And they go, sometimes, a little bit. And then it comes to, are you stoned now? Yes, I'm baked off my ass. Dawson has it as well. A functional pothead, though. Listen, I'm into it. I love the pot smokers. I like motivated pot smokers.
Well, you don't often see that. Unless they're motivated to go get pot.
You don't.
Because that'll motivate you. Like, I'm not a jogger or a walker.
Right.
And barely a crawler.
But if the car breaks down,
shine the car, I'll lay in the street till somebody picks me up.
Really?
But if I get down to about 5 cigarettes and it's only 10 at night, I got to go somewhere.
You got to get.
I can't. There's no way I'll probably fall asleep before I smoke all of them anyway.
Right.
And the thought of waking up with only 2 cigarettes in the house is more than I can bear.
Right.
I have to be able to sit for a while and smoke cigarettes till I'm awake.
It is amazing what people can do when they're motivated. A problem with a lot of pot smokers is they're not motivated. Once in a while, you run into a guy or two, I know a few, who smoke a ton of weed and then go off to work every day and take care of business. I love those guys. Dawson is one of them.
Thanks,
so,
guys.
Dawson, did you get stoned before you went to the Stony Awards?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And the way you get stoned is you just belch, right?
Yeah, there you go. I cough really hard.
Yeah. And you went to the Stony Awards. You went to the green carpet. Seth Rogen is a pretty damn big celebrity these days.
Seth Rogen was the last one to come in. And I was waiting for him before the interview, and they were trying to take him away. And I'm like, dude,
I waited for you, man.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, all right, I like Adam Carolla. I'll talk to you.
Seth Rogen is a real nice guy and an approachable guy, and he doesn't exactly look like a leading man, but could be one of the most bankable male comedic stars as of last year. I mean, he's made more money than Adam Sandler over the last year or so.
Is that true?
Knocked Up and Superbad, which I think he co-wrote. Okay, right,
he co-wrote Superbad, and he starred in Knocked Up, and Knocked Up and Superbad were the two runaway biggest hits comedically, or maybe just overall, last year. I mean, I now pronounce you Chuck and Larry and Wild Hogs and all the Good Luck Chuck and all that stuff. They made some money at the box office, but not like Knocked Up, and they didn't have nearly any of the critical success that Knocked Up had. So he's one of the hottest male stars out there as of 07. You talk to him, you talk to Joe Rogan, you talk to Miss High Times.
Yeah, she was interesting.
And you talk to Chong. So shall we start with Seth Rogan?
Yeah, I asked Seth Rogan the question that you basically just asked.
So, dude, you're like the most popular stoner in the world now. You're like the poster boy for the perpetually stoned. Is that a cross to carry?
I think it. I wouldn't say that's true. Snoop Dogg's still alive. He's still out there, you know. So I shine. I pale in comparison, I think.
Outstanding. On a scale of 1 to 10, how high are you right now?
I think I'm never under 4. So I don't know. Around that, I guess. My parents are staying with me.
Wow.
Never lets himself dip under a 4.
Yeah, it's like that movie Speed, right, where the bus can't go slower than 55.
Well, exactly. That was a buzz.
He'll dip his fingers in chocolate and eat them.
Who'd you talk to next, Dawson?
I actually asked Seth Rogen one more question. We had a very short time with him, but I asked him about the strangest things he's ever smoked out of, and he was impressed.
What's the strangest thing you've ever smoked out of?
That's a good question. Well, a lot of fruits. Pretty much most fruits. A fish bowl. Conch.
A fish bowl?
Wow.
Conch shell.
Excellent, dude. Hey, thanks for your time, man. I appreciate it.
Conch. He got really excited about the conch.
I got to get back into weed.
I was just thinking that.
Yeah.
I know a guy. I can help you out.
Believe me, I got a big old sack of weed that, who the hell gave it to me who came in
that
here?
Comic.
The fat comedian.
Ah. Ralphie May. Ralphie May gave me drugs.
The fat comedian.
When he came in here. Well, I don't know how else to describe him.
That's fair.
I could go with funny, but then you'd go, which funny one was that? And I could go with unfunny, and you'd be like, well, now you've really opened it up. So I'm going to go with fat. And you guys all got Ralphie May. Yeah, you know what? As I get older, I get scared to get stoned.
Really? Why?
Yeah. I'm scared that my brain will turn on itself. You see,
I know, I'm with him on this.
When I was 19 and living in a one-bedroom in North Hollywood with three dudes, all I wanted to do was get stoned to escape. I just had $7 an hour, not getting laid, horrible job, no insurance. I wanted to get stoned and go see a movie. And that's all we did. And that's what I was just dying to get stoned to just get out of my head. Now I'm scared I'm going to get stoned and I'm going to go, hey, man, you got twins. You got to take care of those kids. Those kids aren't going to take care of themselves. You don't want them to grow up and resent you. What if the boy gets a radio show and calls you a pussy like you did to your dad? Oh, good God.
My God,
that would be horrible. What are you going to do? How are you going to take care of all these people? People want things from you. You know, people know who you are. You're baked off your ass right now, but you can't just go to the liquor store and go get yourself a moon pie. People are going to go, hey, there's Adam Carolla, and he's stoned. And I start to freak a little bit, and I'm scared I'd turn on myself.
You're a thinker.
And that's the problem, yeah.
He's lost me that he went to a liquor store and got a moon pie.
Moon pie.
Okay, there's liquor.
I got a knee-high grape soda and goober.
There's an Opie.
Give me change after I hand him a nickel.
You know what happened? The reason I am afraid to get high would be I waited so long because I was on probation in three states for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And they all had custody to my fluids.
Mm-hmm.
But I lived in a fourth state who actually did the sampling. And they were all entitled to as many as two a week. Two UAs, they're called, urine analysis. So literally, I don't think I peed at home for 3.5 years.
Right.
I just kept getting, honey, I got to pee. I better go to a lab.
Even when you got up in the middle of the night, you just walked to the lab.
Saves some time.
With your sleeping hat on.
But is the most difficult thing to get out of your system. It's just, it stores in the fat.
It's ridiculous that cocaine is out of your urine 12 hours later, but weed is in there for another 3 weeks. Like,
easily.
It's so unfair. The idea that you could do a whole bunch of rails on Saturday night and then Monday morning test clear in your urine analysis, but if you smoke some spleef the week before, it's in. Unfair. I agree. I'm going to try to smoke some pot this weekend and tell you guys how
long has it been?
It's been a while. I mean, and if I have smoked pot, I mean, it's probably been over a year. And if I have smoked pot, it's just because someone handed me a joint at a party and I smoked a little bit. But I haven't gotten good and baked. Tonight.
You got baked tonight?
No, tonight I'm doing it.
Okay.
Tonight. I can't get baked yet because it's still the morning.
I get it.
Right. You got it?
Right.
So, do you have plans later.
Get the calendar for Dawson. Okay. I figured it out.
What do you got?
Our buddy Cleto, Jimmy's best friend growing up. It's his bachelor party.
Now, can you get stoned and go out? I feel like pot is an inside drug.
No, what'll happen is half the guys that are on the party bus will be packing the spleef and I'll just join in. But then I'm going to get a lap dance. Got to deal with this.
I think it through.
If I was thinking of the old days of marijuana, and I had a choice between a lap dance and a pizza, I would rub pizza on my lap.
I will pierce the pizza, thin crust, of course.
Yeah.
See, the reason
I want something left over.
The reason I asked how long it has been is because I waited because I was on. The probation ended up being 7 years or something ridiculous like that because I just kept violating it. And after, I think it was 6 years, I was waiting and waiting and waiting. I can't wait to smoke this joint, man. I hadn't done, like, other drugs in years and had no interest, but I wanted to smoke a big fatty with a friend. And I took 3 hits off what had happened to marijuana in the last little over half a decade. And it was almost a hallucinogenic. I smoked a joint with a buddy. And by the time it was done, where you'd be, you know, remember, you'd smoke it down to burnt the tips of your fingers.
Look, all I know,
I was seeing my friend was growing antlers and stuff.
Here's all you need to know about what's happened to pot. I grew up as a young lad in the valley, 14, trying pot with a bunch of other 14-year-olds, and having this conversation. Are you high? I think I'm high. Are you high? I think I am, dude. Maybe I just got a head rush from sucking too hard. No, I think I'm high. He's high. He knows he's high. You know you're high. I think I'm high. That doesn't go on anymore.
Right.
The stuff is sticky. It's purple. It has red pubic hairs sticking out of it. You can smell it coming down the street even when it's not burning. See, you used to smell pot because somebody was smoking pot. Now you smell pot because it's wrapped up in a baggie and stuffed in a guy's underpants, and you can still smell it.
Or there's so sticky, you just stick it to your forehead. Yes. You don't have to carry it in any kind of container at all.
There's no more, are you high? Yes, I am high. Dawson?
Yes.
Who's next?
Joe Rogan. He likes to beat people up when he smokes.
Really?
Hi, Joe Rogan.
Hey, what's up, man?
Have you ever kicked anyone's ass while you were stoned?
I do jiu-jitsu stoned all the time. Almost every time I do jiu-jitsu, I'm high. Unless for some reason I don't have access to pot right before I go to class. But most of the time I do. So, I've choked a lot of dudes while high.
Choked a lot of dudes while high.
That is unimaginable to me. When I hear about some of the things people do, like, I could dig playing rhythm guitar for fish.
Sure.
You know, stone. But when you hear guys do, like, two-hour stand-up specials baked or go to jiu-jitsu class, that would freak me out. Like, I just don't feel like I would be at my best in either one of those settings or venues. Yeah. Dojo or the stage. Who's next, Dawson?
Miss High Times, who was munching on Stony Rice Krispie Treats and pot brownies all day long. Her eyes were completely glazed over, and she was a very, very interesting young woman.
How do you become Miss High Times?
Smoke lots of herb and spread the, you know, good word of the green, I guess.
Okay. Any advice for aspiring young marijuana models?
Definitely. I think that you have to want to actually promote the cause, not just model for a pot leaf, but actually spread the word and try to make changes. And with that, you come with a positive attitude and spread a little sunshine when you can. And, you know, good things will happen to you.
You know what? I like that she's not kidding.
She actually pulled out a high horse.
I love pot smokers. I love one of the greatest sources of confusion in my life is that our government, hence the man, does not know the difference between drugs. It's just drugs are drugs. There's a war on drugs. We're going to spend a certain amount on drugs. If I was in charge, I would say, okay, how much money do we have in the drug budget? $50 billion. Fantastic. We will spend every effing penny on meth. Well, a little sprinkling on crack. We're going all on meth, and all the money we've been putting into eradicating weed and busting all the houses that sell the medicinal marijuana and so on, gone. Done. From this day forth. I hope more people smoke pot in this country. Look, here's the deal. Look at it this way. Everybody, every human being has the desire to self-medicate in one way or another. How many people do you know? We all know one, but we all know hundreds of people that are the opposite, that don't want a glass of wine at a time with a meal or in the evening time, or who when they go to a wedding don't want a glass of champagne just to catch that sort of afternoon buzz, or who don't like the feeling of little Xanax before they get on a long plane flight they're a little bit nervous about, or the weed or the whatever. Everybody loves a slightly altered state. Hey, people like getting massages because they go into a room and they play some Yanni and they shut the lights and the person just drifts off. Not a care in the world. Or they like a sauna or a hot tub. I have to close my eyes and tilt my head back and I'm in a different world. We want to escape our reality. It's built in. It's woven into every human being. And when I say every, I mean 99%, and the 1% that doesn't want to get high, they want to go meditate so they can leave their body. So we've just found an easier, faster way to leave our body. It's built into the fabric of being a human being. That being said, as a society, what drugs do you want your populace to use to escape? Do you want the ones that makes them stab their neighbor with a curtain rod because they thought they called the cops on them and were spying on them? Do you want the ones that makes them pick at themselves until their scabs become holes in their face or their teeth fall out? Do you want the one that makes them sell their kids into prostitution at age 9 so they can get another hit? Which escape method do you want society to use? For me, I want the one that makes them want to hang out, play video games, and be cool to their neighbors. That's me.
That'd
so
be nice.
I would be pushing that avenue of escape if I was in charge of this society versus the booze, versus the one that makes you get into a fist fight with the cops on your front lawn and it gives you the strength of 10 or beat the crap out of your old lady. To me, it's a given we're going the escape route. I'd like to pick the avenue that causes the least damage to the person and the society they live in.
I have a question.
Yes.
You're not in charge of this country?
Not yet.
I've been sitting here and listening to this crap for almost a year now, and it turns out he's not in charge of the country?
But soon.
That's what I thought. At least that.
We need to take a break. Dawson.
Yes, sir.
Hang out.
Okay.
Done and done. It's right at the top of his resume.
I waited for you, man.
Dawson, hanging out is listed under special skills on his resume.
Yeah, that was actually Miss High Times talent.
Yeah, good at it. Says it right there. It says Cockney accent and hanging out. Those are in equestrian. Western and English style and hanging out. That's amongst Dawson's special skills.
And dialects.
I waited for you, man.
He does stone in the morning and stone in the afternoon under accents and dialects. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more from the Stony Awards.
It's the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser. Program Director Jack Silver with a sneak peek at today's show.
Yo, beeps! Less than a week till Blotto and the Grotto 2 at the Playboy Mansion, and the Jack fans already mainlining Viagra and Cialis. Can't be too careful these days. Today, we'll chat it up with Apollo Creed himself, Carl Weathers, the star of the new hit series Chuck, Zach Levi, and Oscar winner Sean Penn. On this show, you've got to be shitting me. Ace Man, make sure you're wearing your nice pair of Adidas warm-up sweats today. And hey, see if you'll autograph my copy of Shanghai Surprise. Shanghai Surprise being, of course, what I call my joke. Wait.
Thanks, Jack. 866-901-ADAM. This is the Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah, wow. Sean Penn's going to be on at 7:10, so we'll move it along here.
Do we have any concerns about that?
No.
No?
I don't know. I've said some... Well, look, I've said the guy's a blowhard a few times, but I wonder... I'm not a friend of Sean Penn's. I don't know him, although I was friends with Chris and friends with Michael, his other two brothers. But I'm good friends. I mean, one of my better, you know, other than Kimmel, who I don't really count as a celebrity friend because I knew him before he was a celebrity... Alec Baldwin is one of my best celebrity friends.
Oh, and I've
called him a blowhard 1,000 times. I don't know. It's weird. It's like I called Rose McGowan crazy and she got PO'd. But Rose McGowan is crazy. Right. Not in a dangerous or bad or unhot kind of way. She's just crazy. And I don't know if the Alec Baldwins and the Sean Penns, I'm not sure if they would take great offense to being called a blowhard. They're strongly opinionated guys who get out there and have their opinions heard a lot, and maybe it's offensive to say blowhard. But, you know, I'm a little bit of a blowhard, and Danny's a little bit of a blowhard, and I don't take great offense.
We're full-blown blowhards.
All right.
There are blowhards who actually get blown away when we start to blow hard.
I don't know if what Sean would think of that, but let's not bring it up.
Why? How many times are we going to have to talk to this guy?
Have you heard Sean Penn interviewed?
I hope to. That's all I'm saying.
He's not the most loquacious.
Well, we'll A, look up that word, and B, and then hope it doesn't happen with us. Hey, Dawson.
Yes, Ace.
Who's stone-quacious?
I waited for you, man.
He's high-quacious.
So you went to the Stony Awards, you walked the green carpet, and next you spoke to Chong?
Tommy Chong. Got him from across the room. The guy has a really remarkable way of always sounding high. Strangely, he wasn't.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how high are you right now?
-1. -1. No, I don't get high before a show because I tend to feel like I've already done the show.
Now, what's the strangest thing you've ever made a bong out of?
A femur.
Well, my favorite thing is a Tampax tube.
Ah.
Tell me about it.
Well, it's got a real familiar taste.
Oh.
Built-in filter. And what else? Oh, it's easy to hide, you know, if you're driving somewhere, a cops pull you over, you just hand this to your old lady and say, here, hide this.
The cops ain't going there.
And it's got a little tag in case you lose it. You can always pull it out.
Genius.
Do you think that was fresh material he was just coming out with?
No. Tommy Chong just came up with brand new marijuana material just that moment. No, he hasn't done that joke every day for 17 years, honest.
Yeah. It was interesting because a lot of time you hear a guy give his material and it sounds like he's reading a teleprompter and you go, oh, I see. Tommy Chong sort of hiccuped and skipped his way through that one just enough to make you go, you know what that was? That was old material he hasn't said in a while.
Now that's what it was.
That's 30-year-old material he hasn't told in 25 years.
He was dusting it off.
Yes, right in front of us. Well, it's interesting. Remember when George Carlin was in here, or we were talking to George Carlin a couple of weeks ago, and I said to him, do you do the oldies and goodies? You're in a way, like a rock band. We want to hear the hits. And he said, no, I don't do any old material. And we said, why not? Why not throw a bone to the crowd and do seven deadly words or whatever the hell you can, you know, all your classic bits? And he said, those bits have to be worked. They have to be exercised. And if I'm not doing them, I can't do them. I can't just summon up things. You know, you couldn't do, you could have been the lead in the Pirates of Penzance in high school, but you couldn't just pull it up right now and do the entire part. I mean, if you were straight. Hey,
you know, I kind of have that, though. In my stand-up comedy act, I have hits. There are people who demand stories. People who have either read my book or seen the National Enquirer.
But you do them and you know them.
Oh, backwards and forwards.
Right. I get the feeling like Chong hasn't done the old Tampax bong bit since the mid-70s. Hey, Dawson.
Yes.
You got one more?
Well, yeah, we did ask Joe Rogan since we established that he was high all the time. We wanted to dig a little deeper and see how that affects his way of thinking. So I went back to Joe and asked him this.
All right, Joe Rogan, last question for you.
Okay.
Do you ever think that you believe in Bigfoot and aliens and all that because you're high all the time?
No, I believed in Bigfoot before, but actually weed makes me less likely to believe in both Bigfoot and aliens, believe it or not. I believed in it more before I smoked weed, and then when I smoked weed, I'm like, it's probably more complicated than that. Like, aliens are probably more complicated than UFOs. Like, I think it's probably, they're probably so alien we can't even recognize them. Sort of like, you know how your nose picks up farts? Right. But really, if you didn't have a nose, you didn't have a sense of smell, you'd have no idea that someone farted. It's just around you, you know? It's a gas that you can't see. And who's to say that there's not life forms like that? We just don't have the ability to tune into what they are. And they're around us constantly. I think that's as likely as aliens that come in big metal ships from other planets, and probably more likely. And weed made me think that.
Yes.
Was there any chance you just expected a no?
I was. I thought, you know, I didn't expect him to get into that much detail.
I just got a contact high.
Easy, Joe.
Hey, Brittany?
Yeah?
You have a plan for the weed?
I want in? Is that what you said?
You have a plan.
I have a plan. I do have a plan.
What is it?
It's a thought.
All right.
I was thinking that if you really want to get the legal issues about weed changed, that you should get the food industry money on your side and convince them that if more people were stoned, more people would have the munchies, and then they could go to Congress and lobby, and they could use some more effective reasoning, like we could use the dude that answered my call said you could use hemp seed oil to like run cars off of and make clothes out of, so they could.
Well, they always do that thing where it's like hemp grows 10 times as fast as other fibers and makes better rope and cloth and blah blah blah, and has no, we don't need pesticides. Look, first off, whatever we can do with hemp, let's get over it and just grow it. Yeah. If it's better than cotton, if it's better than whatever else we're using, if we use the pulp for fabrics, or we use the pulp for paper and we don't have to cut down forests, let's all just get over it. Especially since you can't even really smoke that stuff. And then the other part is, I'm just trying to think. I don't know. What would you guys say? The average, I mean, always talking about Americans and obesity and so on and so forth. I think the average weed smoker is thinner than the average non-weed smoker. On the other hand, maybe it has to do with more weed smokers on the West Coast than in the middle of the country. I mean, whenever you see that stock footage of the fat guys, the obesity problem we have in this country, and they go down to the hometown buffet in Muncie, Indiana, and they have all these fat guys walking around in NASCAR jerseys. Those guys aren't weed smokers. Right. Those are just fat white Americans. And
that's
then
beer.
That's just everything. I think the average weed smoker is 10 pounds lighter than the average non-weed smoker. Would you guys agree with that?
Yes.
I would agree only because I really am not following the complete logic. But on the other hand, I noticed when I took steroids a few years back that I was so worried about the roid rage I'd heard about.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I have a short fuse. I'm one of those guys, if you bump into me, I look at you and I go...
Something about his penis.
Sorry, dude, don't hit me.
I go, what are you looking at, man? why don't you say, excuse me? I'm one of those guys.
And Gretchen's like, we're in the kitchen, and all I did was open the fridge door too fast.
Well, that'll teach you. But, you know, I have a short fuse. I won't take a fair amount of
abuse. You don't want to take the roids, and you overcompensated
right. That's
thinking
what
I'm going to.
I became much nicer.
Maybe.
Somebody would bump into me, and I'd go, hey. And then I think, wait, is this it? Is this
so
the
you're saying
right?
Maybe,
he's got a point.
Maybe pot smokers overcompensate for the munchies by playing 7-8 hours of hacky sack a day, for instance.
Or ultimate frisbee.
Yeah. Okay, I can dig it. Hey, nice job.
Thanks, Ace.
Nice report filed from the green carpet over there at the Stonies. We need to break. The reason we need to break is because when we come back, none other than Sean Penn.
I waited for you, man.
We'll be on the show. We'll take a quick break. Sean Penn, when we return.
With guitar!
This is the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaduce, and Teresa Strasser. Coming up this morning, your chance to win tickets to Blotto in the Grotto, our Halloween party at the Playboy Mansion. We'll talk to Carl Weathers, that's Apollo Creed from the Rocky movies. The cast will make their NFL picks for this weekend's games, and we'll have a little sit down with Sean Penn.
That's the man that gave me.
866-901-ADAM. This is the Adam Carolla Show.
Yes, Sean Penn, due on any moment. I've said this about Sean Penn as well. The Spicoli, one of the greatest comedic acting jobs ever delivered to me.
I agree.
And I've often said, I was just watching Bad Boys.
Love that movie.
Yeah, the first one, not the Will Smith one.
Yeah, Bad Boys, where he's in a prison.
Where you bash a guy in the face with a bunch of Coke cans and a pillowcase.
Esai Morales.
Yes. I said a few months ago when we were talking about Sean Penn, if he had done Bad Boys or if Bad Boys had been released before Fast Times at Ridgemont High, because I think they were only about 6 months or a year apart. If he had done Bad Boys as his first major breakout role, and then 6 months later done Spicoli, he would have been nominated.
For Spicoli.
But I know it sounds like a stretch, and maybe I'm just kissing some pen ass, but he's on the line, and hopefully he can hear this before I punch him up. But I did say this before today, which is, he didn't get enough credit for Spicoli because we thought he was Spicoli.
Yeah, we
thought he was Dawson on our show.
Right.
We didn't realize if he had done the Bad Boys role and then the Colors role and then done Spicoli, people would have went, give him something.
Right.
This is amazing.
I thought they hired some surfer dude that they discovered on the beach.
That's what we all thought.
Perfect.
Sean Penn?
I'm here.
Yes.
Hi, Sean.
Hey, how are you?
Are you, you're on with Teresa Strasser, Danny Bonaduce, and Adam Carolla.
How are y'all?
Great. Now, are you calling from New York?
Oh, Danny Bonaducci's on
the line? Yes, sir, Danny Bonaducci. What can I do for you, Mr. Penn?
That was a hell of a throw the other night.
The guy didn't weigh a lot.
Sean, what did you make of that when you saw it?
Well, I would want to get it off of me, too.
Thank you. That's it. It's so funny because I've been on the bad side of the DA, and the DA said, well, you're guilty, and damn if he wasn't right. And this time the DA said, you're not guilty. That guy needed to be thrown over your head, and damn if the DA isn't right again. I'm starting to be a big fan of the district attorney.
Well, not only the DA, but the SP, Sean Penn, has agreed with you, and that's all you need.
Dude, that is really all you need. I wish that came in some kind of, you know, it typed out on my computer so I could frame it. Sean Penn says, I'd do it too.
Hey, Sean, are you out in New York? You live out in Southern California, though.
He's in Northern California.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm in Northern California most of the time.
I just saw a great documentary. I think it was on Stars that was called, I think, Fog City Mavericks or something like that. It was a documentary, a two-hour documentary on all the great filmmakers that live in San Francisco and all the great films that come from the Bay Area. Have you seen that, Sean?
No, I haven't.
I highly recommend it. It was riveting. And you realize Coppola and Lucas and all these guys responsible for so much all started as these sort of maverick filmmakers living in the Bay Area. And in a way, I guess you can include Dirty Harry, Clint Eastwood, in that, too. Would you like to continue that tradition, Sean Penn?
Well, I'd like to make movies that I'm proud of. I don't know if that. Yeah, I mean, it all sounds good to me. Sure.
Can we talk about? Can we talk about Into the Wild?
Sure.
I read the book and was obsessed with it, as you were. It took you a while to get the movie made. The family wouldn't agree to it, and then how did they change their minds?
Well, I think it was a very fresh wound what had happened in the, to their son, and that. And so it took some time for them to get to the point where they were ready to see a movie made. But ultimately, they did call and did decide to have it made. And so now it's out.
And when did he pass away? The
well, he didn't exactly pass away.
92.
And the story is about a young man who just wants to escape society. So he goes to the wilderness of Alaska, correct?
Well, it's partly escape, and it's but I think it's dominantly a kind of pursuit of something story. There's a you can escape whatever you think is inauthentic in your life, but you still got to find the its counterpart. And so he goes off and tries to find that in the first in the small towns and back roads of America, and through a lot of relationships with a lot of other people. And then ultimately into Alaska.
Now, let me ask you something. I've been going through minor little personal crisis, but nothing that would make me go off into the wild. But something enough to make you think about it. You know what? I'm going to blow off this town, this radio thing, this acting thing. It's crap. And of course, I would never do it. But I also couldn't do it. There are no back roads. I walk into a bar in Cleveland, and it's just like walking into a bar in L.A. for me. Can you go anywhere and escape, or are you Sean Penn the event no matter where you go?
Yeah, as long as you're not determined that it be a bar.
Oh.
Well, that takes care of that.
But, Sean, do you have the, and I guess we all have it, but how close are you to doing this? I mean, do you have the fantasy of just dropping out?
Without it getting too much into... I feel like everybody should be really in pursuit of going outside their comfort zone, because we're not presented with rites of passage anymore. They've all been taken away, and we live in a completely comfort addicted and slovenly kind of feeling society. And so when people do that, when you're willing to go outside of the comfort zone, and this kid did it in such a passionate and committed way. That there's something exhilarating about that, and you learn how to feel your life while you're living it, and so while it can, you know, I'm not I wouldn't push just general recklessness, and certainly it's this didn't end the way that I would have liked to see it end as a true story. I am for the idea of pushing that comfort zone.
Now I pitched this one time and one time only because. They looked at me like I was such a nut. I knew I was never going to get into Showtime's offices again. I wrote a show called The Cultural History of Pain, where I looked at all the other things other cultures do for certain mm-hmm. celebrations, but are extraordinarily painful. Like on Easter, there's a whole village in the Philippines that crucifies the men.
Right.
And then brings them down at the end of the day. There's a place in India where when you're a guru or whoever dies, you put big hooks through your back and drag his coffin up a hill to the funeral pyre.
How about us? We have Thanksgiving. I have to sit with my goddamn family for 3 hours.
So well, I don't know that when I'm talking going out your comfort zone, I don't know that it's the Bonaducean hooks through the back.
Well, that's what they said.
Well, he launched Johnny Fairplay out of his comfort zone the other night.
Just not accepting what everybody else tells us is right. Life.
Sean, you seemed a little out of your comfort zone when I saw you on Oprah. What was that experience like?
Well, she's a really lovely person, and I mean, it was just a little. There was a lot of conversation about me that maybe that's not the most comfortable thing for anybody. But I was really appreciative of the time that she paid attention gave to. Into the Wild, because it's a movie I care a lot about.
I saw, well, when Oprah gives it a big thumbs up, it's the stamp of approval, whether it be a book or a movie, and I saw that Oprah too, and I thought, must be nice, because I realized that Sean Penn has gotten to a point in his career and his life where he doesn't have to dance for the man, or even the woman, in Oprah's case, which is, people sort of consider you to be a genius, I'm sure. I'm sure modesty would prevent you from believing it yourself. But people generally think you're sort of a outlaw, sort of renegade genius filmmaker, and thus you don't have to talk much anymore.
Like De Niro.
You just sit around and look cool, and if you light a cigarette, you look even cooler, and people sort of give you a pass. They don't go, "Hey, Sean Penn."
My wife and children aren't hearing this right now.
Adam's right. I'm out there pitching fish hooks through the back, and you just got to smoke a stogie, and you're the coolest guy ever.
Do you know what I'm talking about, Sean?
No. No.
All right, then let me ask you Adam's question, except with an answer, because he said that modesty might preclude. Thank you from answering. Would you say that you are one of the best actors of our generation?
I think for anybody that feels like to do something well, you do it well more because not so much because you think you're so good, but because most are so bad, and I think that's true in most things. And I think that you know it goes back to what it is that I love about this story and this guy is that's what it is about going outside your comfort zone. It refines the way that you figure out what you're there to do, we're here to do.
Into the Wild. It is in theaters now, Sean. Do you have any thoughts about doing any more comedy? I mean, obviously, we know you can act and we know you can handle comedic roles. Do you feel too serious? Like, is your head just not in that space? Or would you like to do another comedy?
I've always been really interested in doing a comedy. I mean, I think, it's taking away the personal part of it, you know, what you guys were talking about in the beginning with a comedy and seeing something in a comedy and it being regarded and things like this. You know, I think comedies are generally underrated and the comic performances and so on. I mean, I remember when Eddie Murphy did that Nutty Professor, I thought he should have walked away with whatever awards they like to give for things. It was,
I agree. I don't know why it has to be dismissed because it's a comedy.
Know.
And by the way, I don't know why a movie needs to be dismissed if it's a huge action movie. A good movie is a good movie, and a good performance is a good performance. Is there anything coming down the pike, or do you get scripts for comedies? Is there?
Absolutely, the answer to the question. Not too much. Never have gotten too many that way.
And don't you think it would kind of blow people's mind if you did just a big, over-the-top, farcical comedy?
I can't say what it would do for other people. I think I'm so invested in looking for things that I want to direct at this point that it's probably past it with me in terms of being some kind of unengaged and continuous.
What if we got a Democrat in office?
That'd be funny.
Do you think? I feel like so many Hollywood people are so bummed out by George Bush, they can't laugh anymore. And thus, all they want to do is, you know, go down and help people who've been devastated by Katrina. What if we got Hillary Clinton in there?
And we could all have a good laugh.
And we could all have a good laugh again. Yeah.
Well, I think in the initial stages of considering George Bush being president, they probably just were laughing so hard the face cracked off.
Right, but now,
get it, stop being funny.
Now it's been a 5-year bummer known as Iraq and everything else.
Strategery.
Hey, Sean.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming on the show, Into the Wild.
You bet.
Name of the movie. And come see us when you're out here in L.A.
All right, thanks very much.
Hey, by the way, I'll answer my own question. I personally think you're probably the greatest actor of our generation.
I put him on hold, but I could hear him. I could hear him nodding.
I don't care.
Or just being very uncomfortable because, as Oprah said, he can't accept the love.
I saw that. Into the Wild, name of the movie. It's supposed to be a great movie. It's in theaters now.
There's a
sea of crappy movies out there. Why don't you find this buoy? This buoy in a sea of crappy movies. T.
Yeah.
Speaking of a sea of crap, it's time for the news. Give a tease. Tell us what's coming up in it.
Britney's lips, her foot, her car, and her urine, all in the news this morning.
All right.
Wow.
We'll do that next.
The Adam Carolla Show and Miller Lite present Blotto in the Grotto.
Returns as dedicated as ever to one unholy purpose.
Next Thursday night, live at the Playboy Mansion.
Nation.
Behind these walls, a world of madness and brutality within.
With Adam Carolla.
A living thing with the brain of an insane genius.
Danny Bonaduce.
Created from the bodies of the criminally insane.
Teresa Strasser.
The female breast can be deadly.
Featuring Hugh Hefner.
Rising from his tomb.
David Alan Greer.
Dracula's soul brother.
The deaf frat guy.
A terrifying story that could have happened to the kids in your neighborhood.
And the Kardashian sisters.
All obsessed with the taste of flesh.
Next Thursday night at the Playboy Mansion.
We have painted a bloody picture, but it is only a small part of what actually takes place in
Visit AdamCarolla.com to win tickets.
You will sit and watch this shocking ugliness.
And if you can't get in, catch the broadcast Friday morning.
If you have a strong constitution, we challenge you to test it and sit through
Blotto in the Grotto with the Adam Carolla Show.
Mm-hmm. Good times. See, House, well, maybe you need to be stoned to do that. To put
I
that
see.
Together. I was just thinking
Stoner
of Dawson.
Dawson made that.
Yes. I couldn't do that.
He's a very effective stoner.
He high functioning stoner. T?
Emphasize the word high.
How about the news, baby girl?
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
Joe
I waited
Torre.
For you, man.
And the New York Yankees have officially parted company. Yesterday, Torre turned down a one-year offer of $5 million to coach the team next season. That sounds like a lot, but his last contract was for 3 years. Since owner George Steinbrenner was only offering him a one-year commitment, Torre walked away with his dignity intact. The Yankees made the playoffs every year since Torre joined the team in 96 and won 4 World Series under him. Here is a catcher who played for Torre named Jim Leyritz talking to ESPN.
I don't think it was a slap in the face type of offer. I thought it was a pretty good offer, knowing how the Yankees work and what they expect from their manager. No matter what, if Joe Torre didn't get to the World Series next year, he probably would have been fired anyhow.
I can't stand baseball. I was watching the baseball game, the Sox game. Please, somebody beat those Red Sox. Because you understand that the Red Sox are going to win the World Series, and then the Patriots are going to win the Super Bowl, and then we're all going to have to move to Canada because I'm going to be surrounded by Bill Simmons and all the rest of the JOs from the Boston area going, hey, Ace, do you see? I missed dear diary, dear online diary. I masturbated to Tom Brady 26 times. I masturbated more to Tom Brady than he had thrown touchdowns this season because the Pats are the greatest football dynasty of all time. And as far as the Sox go, go Sox.
Nice. I feel they can improve the game of baseball, though, really easily.
Mm.
I think change one rule. Never let go of the bat.
Mm. You just get to take it with you.
Yeah, and when you want to steal second, you got to steal it because the other guy's got a bat too.
Well, I realized.
I think that would lighten up that game just a touch.
Watching baseball, why it was a non-sport, when you go to the dugout and all the guys are fat, they're chewing seeds, and they're figuring out ways to keep busy. See, when you play baseball, you have to figure out ways to occupy yourself other than playing baseball.
Yeah.
So every fat relief pitcher is just sitting on the pine and he's spitting seeds and he's chewing tobacco and he's spitting because it's a weird, it's weird nervous stuff. Whenever they cut to the pitcher and he's just sitting on the bench, he's spitting something. There's seeds, either seeds are going in or seeds are going out. And I thought about it. Watch a professional basketball game, watch a professional football game, watch a professional hockey game. In hockey, they're leaning forward on the bench getting ready to jump back in, or if there's a fight, they're ready to clear.
Yeah.
Right. In basketball, the guys are all sweating and leaning forward, and in football, they're either drinking Gatorade or sucking oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
In baseball, the guy's got his rally hat turned three ways to Sunday, he's wearing a windbreaker, and he's spitting seeds and practicing his funky handshake with the other fat Dominican who's bored off his ass as well, and these guys are in the game. If you need to find things to do during the game and you're in the game, how do you think I feel watching the game? There's no such thing. Like, you'll never see in football, hey, the guy's on the sideline. He's eating with his other buddies, and they're working out a funky handshake. No, it's a game. You have to be involved in the game.
So is baseball still the great American pastime, or is that over?
I think football has surpassed baseball. I mean, I still think,
I think there's stats on it.
It's so the pastime in terms of I got nothing better to do. It's like
it's the pastime.
Yeah, napping is never going to go out of style as long as people are tired and there's a few hours to kill.
And
napping,
we've got a show.
Napping will always be in vogue. Yes. All right. Sorry, T.
No problem. Britney Spears had an interesting day yesterday. She was leaving a Beverly Hills medical building, and if you look at the picture, it seems clear she was there to get her lips done.
Mm-hmm.
They've been plumped up quite a bit. Uh-huh. And as she tried to leave, of course, there are paparazzi everywhere. She ran over one of the paparazzi's foot. He happened to be wearing sandals. She did not stop. She kept on going.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy, according to TMZ, the photographer, went to the emergency room, and nothing seems to be broken. But here's also the latest with Britney. As we reported yesterday, she lost the visitation privileges with her two boys yet again. Mm-hmm. They were revoked by Commissioner Gordon because she still is not doing what he's asked her to do. Specifically, she has not taken the parenting classes she was supposed to. And as we discussed yesterday, she didn't leave contact information so that the drug testing lab could reach her to administer the required test. Now, Britney is blaming bad cell phone reception in her home for missing a call from the lab.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's an excuse. There's no cell phone reception in Malibu where she lives. So?
They also didn't really have her exact address. They went to two houses.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's out of it. It's just who cares? You know, I mean, look, these two kids, I know we're worried about the welfare of these two kids. They'll be fine. The nanny's going to raise these kids. And as long as there's plenty of money, who cares?
The good news is she finally settled with that woman whose car she dinged in the parking lot the last time she was being followed by paparazzi.
Yes, it was a scuff.
There was a scuff.
She scuffed the car. A little bit of elbow grease and a little bit of rubbing compound would have taken it right off the bumper. Except for, of course, it was a hit and run. And according to all the entertainment shows, Britney plows into pedestrian's car. Like, it was like she barely scuffed the car. And then when they interviewed the chick whose car got scuffed, she acted like Britney drove a SUV through her living room. She scuffed the car.
She's agreed to pay $1,000 to the woman. And according to TMZ, law enforcement sources are saying that they will probably drop the criminal hit and run charges now that it's settled. $1,000 and it's over.
It was a rub and run. By the way, there are still places you can get a good rub and run here in Los Angeles. Yes, there was no dent. There was no metal broken. There was no paint flaking off. There was that little scuff and rub you get when the other car's bumper rubs against your bumper, and it makes that black sort of crayon mark, and you have to rub it out with a little rubbing compound. That's all.
We have a sales guy here. I was at the Hustler store, and I said, there's no place to park. And he goes, I'll park it. He comes up and he goes, hey, I tapped your car. I'm sorry. Not the Honda. This was Amy's car. And I said, oh, and I went to look, and you could see barely anything. And he not only fixed that, she had a reasonable scratch on the other side of the car, mm-hmm. but it was on the same piece of plastic and it had to be replaced. So without, I wouldn't have ever noticed, and he just had it fixed. This is not a big deal where you right. hunt this poor woman down.
No, I just mean...
But she shouldn't also just be so cavalier about it.
Right. I don't want to defend Britney Spears, but here's the thing about news. There has to be news. You can't make up news. You can't call that a hit and run. You can't call a hit and run when it was a rub in park. You didn't run anywhere. She pulled into a parking space, rubbed the other car's bumper, and then got out of her car and went in to go get her Frappuccino or her lips plumped or whatever the F she does for 2 hours and then came back in. That's not a hit and run. That's a hit in park. Sorry, T.
Have you had an ass full of Britney?
Here's the thing about Britney. I would give her a pass if she was either one of these two things, because here's how I work with celebrities. If she was either very attractive, which she's not, she's a Florida 6.5 who's running around at a 7.5 or an 8 because She gets her lips plumped and she gets her spray tanned and she gets her teeth capped and she gets all that stuff. She's a natural six. When she's in great shape and the lighting's right and she's worked it all out and the videographer's doing his job, right, she gets to a make-believe nine. But she's a natural six.
Wow. Easily. I never see her to make-believe nine. I see her to make-believe eight, eight and a half.
I'm going back 5 years when the video camera and the lighting is just right. She's a natural six. So, A, not hot enough for me to really care about. B, lip syncs her concert, so doesn't have the Whitney Houston, Christina Aguilera pipes. So, no pipes.
No pipes.
Versus a natural six equals ace man not interested. And society should do that as well. And here's the lesson. You should either be interested in the really good-looking people or the really talented people or, like Whitney Houston pre-Bobby Brown,
right,
the really good-looking, really talented. Yeah. Now you become a superstar. She is neither.
Which one is Donald Trump? He's in neither.
He's become an oddity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I can watch.
Okay, yeah, I'll file him under oddity, and he wouldn't let this whole Ellen Iggy thing go by without commenting.
Iggy is a fantastic canine, a terrific, classy lapdog. That Shih Tzu is fantastic and classy. You know, when I met Slavonka back in Slavonia, many years ago in the very classy continent of Europe, she had many lap dogs. We brought them back to my garish palace on the Upper West Side, and there they went in a gold-leafed cat box. Very terrific, very classy lesbian.
I'm referring, of course, to the feud between Ellen DeGeneres and Mutz and Moms. They gave her the dog Iggy. She gave it to her hairdresser. Then Mutz and Moms took it back. Many tears have followed. Here's the question. Donald Trump, when commenting on the situation.
You really sound like an American Indian there. Mutts and Moms. Many tears have followed. In the day the Mutts came to our land, we used to live on all part of Mutt. We used the meat of the Mutt, the bone of the Mutt to make our arrows. We used the pelt of the Mutt to shield us from the storm. And then the Moms come. And the Moms rape the land. They shoot the Mutt. And now, many tears have fallen.
Wow. It's sad the way you tell it.
Yeah, sorry. Mutts and Moms.
What does Donald Trump think of Ellen DeGeneres? I'm going to give you a few options. Does he think she's terrific?
Terrific.
Does he think she's degenerate?
They said Ellen DeGenerate. It's right in her name.
Does he think she's a loser?
Ellen the Loser DeGenerate.
Or does he think she's classy? That's terrific, degenerate, loser, or classy?
I'm going terrific. I happen to know he likes her.
Oh, you know? Mm-hmm. Because I was going to go terrific just because he's hated too many people and she's a lesbian. He would get his crown of I hate everybody because everybody sucks would be taken over by I hate lesbians. So he's going to say she's terrific.
Because he hates Rosie. He's got to like Ellen.
He's got to like Ellen.
Ah, that's a very good point.
Well, let's see if Donald thinks Ellen is terrific, degenerate, loser, or classy.
I have been following the Ellen story. Ellen is a friend of mine. She's a terrific person. It really shows what a good heart she has. Because I don't think I could cry over that, to be honest with you. But it shows what a good heart she is, what a good person she is. And I would be willing to buy that dog back and give it to the kid. I mean, it's ridiculous what happened. How does the woman take the dog away from the kid? I don't understand.
Yeah, it's impossible to find a stray dog.
I'm gonna take my T-shirt air cannon. I'm going down to Mutts and Moms. I'm going to stuff it filled with 20s and $5 bills, and I'm going to fire it in the general direction of those lesbians, and we're going to get that dog back. I promise you that because you're terrific. I like the super blowhardy individual. He didn't use it, but once in a while people do that. They go, Danny's a terrific individual. Individual.
Also, cops use that often.
Yes. Yeah.
Instead of just saying that guy, he was a redheaded individual.
Yeah.
Well, cops suffer.
Cops actually say that specifically a lot. He was a redheaded individual.
Cops suffer a little bit from the syndrome that the athlete suffers from, which is I will overcompensate by butchering the American language so that people don't know I'm dumb.
Well, we'll leave you with this. At the box office this weekend, of course, you can see Sean Penn's movie, Into the Wild.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can see a new movie or two out, Rendition, a thriller starring Reese Witherspoon, Jake Gyllenhaal, Meryl Streep, and Alan Arkin.
Mm-hmm.
The Comebacks, one of those parody movies like Date Movie or Epic Movie.
Oh. Yeah.
But a parody sports movies.
Yeah, David Koechner in here just the other day.
Gone Baby Gone, starring Casey Affleck.
Mm-hmm.
Supposed to be a good movie.
Directed by his brother.
Directed by Ben Affleck.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could see Josh Hartnett in 30 Days of Night.
Now you see that when you say when Brian's speaking and I say when Brian's speaking, why is he doing that? The only actual words I've just heard out of it were she said Josh Hartnett and he said, ooh.
He is cute.
Yeah. I can't place one of these guys next.
Well, you know why? Is it just me or does he lack charisma? Remember Cary Grant? Cary Grant, they just oozed. And even your Humphrey Bogarts of the world, and the guys that weren't even traditionally handsome, had that je ne sais quoi. Do these guys just seem like, the guys like Josh Hartnett especially, but even your Jude Laws and guys like that just seem like plain Janes? Yes, you're attractive because you're not unattractive. Like, they're good looking because there's nothing wrong with them. You're not bald. You don't have a big schnoz. You're not fat and whatever. But remember when the leading man had that certain he could light up the room and charm the pants off anybody?
And Cary Grant did often.
Right. Where is that?
Arsenic and Old Lace. Do you remember that? He could be serious and scared and funny. He could pull it all off.
I think there are still some guys, movie actors, who are charming. But Josh Hartnett is definitely not one of them.
No, they're close. And that would be, in my book, Tom Hanks.
Well, Tom Hanks, and then there's also guys like Robert Downey Jr. who are, if you've spent any time with them, are very charming, very articulate, engaging. You know what I mean? The Josh Hartnetts of the world, and maybe it's just me, but we used to have, like we talked about, the Cary Grants and the Humphrey Bogarts, and now we have Keanu Reeves and Josh Hartnett, and it just seems And you chicks, you should not be having as much sex with these guys as you are. Remember personality? Hey, all you hot chicks, you know how when someone says, what's most attractive to you about a man, and you say sense of humor? Stop effing Josh Hartnett. Would you? Yeah. Or just admit you're a liar and say buns.
Yeah, that's fine.
Fine. Don't be hypocrites.
Because if there is, if the most attractive thing about a man is his sense of humor, there should be a longer line outside this radio station than the one up the dial a little bit. That's all I'm saying.
That's right. I should be able to just put my penis right through the mail slot, and there should be something warm and fuzzy on the other end of it.
You're right, yes.
Don't put your penis through the mail slot.
I thought I smelled cigarettes.
Never inside the glory hole.
All right, T-Bone.
That's the news.
Tomorrow's news. Today, Teresa Strasser. You, CNN.
I hate lesbians.
Action Jackson himself, Carl Weathers.
Yeah, baby.
Oh, boy, do I love Carl Weathers.
Me too.
He's not only all the Rocky movies, but let's not forget Predator.
Yeah!
Carl Weathers is such a badass that even when his arm got shot off in Predator, it was still returning fire at the Predator.
Wow.
His arm was severed from his body, and it was still fighting. You break Carl Weather into parts, they're just smaller fighting parts, that's all. You break his foot off, he'll still kick your ass, even if it's not attached to him.
Let's throw a foot in your ass.
Starfish.
Yes. Carl Weathers in studio next.
This is the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser.
You had that eye of the tiger, man, the edge. And now you got to get it back. And the way to get it back is to go back to the beginning. You know what I mean?
Carl Weathers.
You thought I was tough? This jump will kill you.
Is on the Adam Carolla Show.
Great to see you, Carl Weathers.
Great to be here.
An icon.
Wow. Yes, an acorn. Yes, you know, even a pig can find an acorn.
Well, let's We'll get to the new movie, The Comeback, soon. But let's start back with Carl Weathers. Where does it begin for you? Where do you start out?
Wow.
And how does it go?
And how do you not age?
And how do you
wait a minute now. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on, man. There is the time capsule. You just have to walk through it every once in a while. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Actually, the time capsule happens to be a gymnasium where I spend at least 5-6 days a week. You know about that. Come
on, so you're still working out every day and staying in great shape.
Well, hey, man, it's real simple. I haven't made it yet. I'm still trying to make it. And if you haven't made it yet, you got to be on top of the game. If you think you've made it, then you relax.
So you still have that hunger.
Baby, it's beyond hunger. I'm famished. I'm always famished.
Carl, what would make you think you'd made it?
Wow, that's a good question. There might be a few things, and when I find them, I'll let you know.
Well, there's, I'll tell you one of the best jokes I ever heard. Of course, it was current with the it was right after the Rocky movies. A stand-up comic said, I was dating a Jewish girl, and she thought the Apostles' Creed was the guy that fought Rocky. So when you make it into a stand-up act, the whole audience gets it, you've arrived.
Well, Apollo may have arrived, but I haven't. I mean, she was talking about Apostle Creed.
How did that role come about for you? You played ball in college. You went to Canada. You played some with the Raiders, right. And then you went to the Canadian Football
League. The Raiders, man. The Raiders.
And you played in Canada for a little bit, and then you retired, what, was it 74?
Yeah, it was. Good. Thanks for being kind and saying I retired. I like that.
Football tends to retire you. Well, you know, the average, I heard this the other day, and people talk about this, but we really need to hear it. The average lifespan of a running back in the NFL's like 2.3 years or something. I mean, the average guy doesn't last 9 years. The average guy lasts 2 or 3 years.
Now, you know I know nothing about sports. So when you say lifespan of 3 years, you don't mean they just die.
No, in the NFL, they live another 8 years after that and die when they're 31.
Carl, I got to get into this conversation, all right? Because that was my life for a while. It was my life for a while, but here's the deal. They not only retire after 2.5 years, they really do die, okay?
Yes.
Wow. You are being hit by guys in there who weigh twice as much as you sometimes, and it hurts.
Yeah, the football players have a shorter lifespan in general.
Yeah, they do, absolutely. I mean, look, you know, the stuff on the news that you've seen, I mean, we don't want to go downhill here, but the stuff you've seen on the news with these guys and the injuries,
right.
Believe me, I didn't have the significant kind of damage that some of those guys had, and I still, man, day after day, have situations where there are areas on my body that hurt.
Right.
I mean, 24/7, so I'm constantly trying to take care of that.
Yeah.
Hence the gym, you know.
And I'm a pretty big fan. I'll rub them if they hurt.
Oh, baby.
You know what they say, I'm a fan.
So that's your story, Danny.
Only for you, Carl.
Okay, so, Carl Weathers, you get out of the Canadian Football League. You retire. You turn your back on football, even though they beg you to return.
Yes,
now it's 1974.
All right, now it sounded good.
How do you get the Rocky role?
Man, you know, you guys know, okay, how this thing really works. You know, people out there think, you know, somebody discovered you doing this, or you had this great sort of beginning. Well, there I was. My agent handed me a script and said, this is a great script. It'll probably be a great movie. There's a great role in it, but they don't want to see you because they don't know who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm a young kid who's just walked into this town, and you would think that we want to see everybody. But no, they wanted names.
Right.
And Carl Weathers was not a name.
And did they want somebody who actually knew how to box?
Well, of course they did, but they didn't know. You know, nobody really knows what they want. They say they know what they want. Unless there's somebody that they've written the script for and that
they know it when they
says,
see it,
okay,
usually,
yeah, but
or
exactly.
Hopefully.
And sometimes they know it when they see it.
And even then, sometimes they don't.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Okay, you're sitting right in front of them, and they have no clue.
So now you audition for Rocky's
Apollo
Creed.
With about 1,000 other guys going in there. You know, it was truly the cattle call, and they treated us like cattle.
Thankfully, there's not too many brothers who can box, so Carl had
No, wait a minute now. There's a whole lot of brothers out there who can box.
I was kidding.
Depending on which street we're on, okay, on any given day.
But now, I used to actually be a boxing trainer, and when you watch movies, you go, oh, that guy can box, or that guy can't box, or one guy's an actor who's supposed to look like a boxer. Carl Weathers anyone can throw punches in a movie and they can cut it up, but they can't look like a boxer when they're moving around the ring. When they're in a wide shot and the guy's bouncing around the ring,
right.
That's when you can tell if a guy can box. I could cut up any way to Sunday you guys throwing punches and make it look like you're a boxer. But getting wide and seeing how a guy moves without throwing a punch, that's how you can tell if the guy's a boxer. And seeing what his defense looks like without throwing a punch, that's how you can tell if a guy's a boxer. And Carl Weathers looked so athletic and so much like a boxer, it was so believable. Were you boxing before that, or are you just so athletic you were able to pull it off?
Man, after that, I want to go out there and hit somebody.
Hit Danny.
I know what I'm doing.
No, by noon, I was back.
See what Danny can do to you. I ain't going there. Now, here's what happened. I had the good fortune to meet some guys right in the beginning after, you know, after they decided they really would see me, and I read and they kind of liked what happened in the room after I took my shirt off.
Sure.
Because that was part of the deal.
One of the best bodies I ever saw, man.
Thank you, brother. Thank you.
Love him.
But anyway, you know, I go there and there's a great, great boxer at the time that I got in the ring with. And this guy just really put me through the paces. And in about 3 minutes, I'm not kidding you, I could not lift my arms.
Nope.
But he saw something that was there in terms of potential and the way I could move. And it was, I think, basically, everybody who's ever been an athlete knows one thing. It's really about legs and footwork.
Right.
You know?
You're
and
light
balance.
On your feet. You have you great go. Balance. You have great coordination and rhythm.
Exactly.
And you're able to take that and bring it into the ring.
That was it.
So now you get the gig.
I get the gig.
And you're still thinking, well, obviously, Sylvester Stallone isn't Sylvester Stallone at this point. He's made a couple of movies. Maybe you heard of him, but he's not Sly Stallone.
Well, guess what? I hadn't heard of him. No. I mean, look, the story I've told this
story
before.
Or the Flatbush, he has one line in.
Right.
And something else.
And yeah, well, the thing is, though, I mean, you know, when I was introduced to him, I walked in the room, and you know about this. You walk in the room, and you're introduced to everybody, and hell, you're trying to remember the names, right. Let alone
right.
know who they really are, unless the person's really identifiable, right? So I walk in the room and I'm introduced to him as the writer. Nobody says this guy's starring in the movie.
Uh-huh.
So we get there, we do our little number, and he's reading against me. So I'm thinking, okay, I'm reading with the writer.
Right.
At the end of it, I'm really pumped up. I'm trying to do my best, and you're excited, man. This is a chance to be in a
movie. Sure.
Oh, there I am.
Yeah.
That got me excited right there. So I'm throwing a punch, baby, and I'm hitting him. And I'm hitting him, and I'm dancing, and I'm bobbing, and I'm weaving. And finally, at the end of it, I look down, and I say to the producer and the director, hey, you know, if you get me a real actor, I could do a much better job.
Oh, God.
Stallone looks at me, and guess what happened? I jumped up on him, and he face-planted me.
That happen these days.
That will happen if you jump on a guy.
Carl, fair play.
So, did that really happen, Carl?
What, sweetie?
The line that you said,
if you get me a real actor.
No, I'm dead serious.
To Sly.
I'm dead serious. I didn't really say it to Sly. I said it to producers and the directors because... I, you know, it wasn't so much I was insulting him. I didn't feel I did a great job, and any actor knows that what you do is you play off the other person.
Right.
It's 5 o'clock on a Friday. People in this town, if they're in the movie business, are like out of town already, or they're going home. So the guy walks in, and he's kind of like, you know, okay, I've seen 150 guys today. I'm just not interested in going through it again, but I will. So we read the thing. He's reading off the page. He's sitting down in a chair. I'm standing up all pumped up. Man, I didn't hit it out of the park, so I thought. But, you know,
get
they apparently. So, you know, when they look at you and they sort of giggle, I'm thinking they're laughing at me. They're laughing at how game I was and apparently how impressive I was.
Oh, they thought you probably knew it and said it anyway.
Yeah, I didn't know.
Right,
I had no
but they're
idea.
Thinking in their heads, he knows this is the star of the movie.
That's
thought
right.
That'd be funny.
That's right.
That's balls.
You know, there
that's
you go.
Cool.
Carl Weathers is in studio. We need to take a break. The Comeback, the name of his latest sports movie, in theaters today. I want to hear the rest of the journey when we come back, Carl Weathers.
The journey.
If we could, please. We'll take a quick break. Back with the great Carl Weathers next.
Can you guess which movie this famous line is from?
I ain't got time to blame.
If you said Predator...
I ain't got time to breathe.
You're correct. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Oh, that movie still holds up. And I say still, it's not that old, but somehow they've screwed up that genre these days. Doesn't seem like anything in that genre is working too well, and you have to go back a few years if you... Or if you have a taste for that.
Yeah.
Predator comes on cable, you don't switch it.
Nope.
You
there,
just watch it.
There are certain movies that they come on and it's automatic. One, it's not an action film, though, but you just stick with it. The movie The Firm with Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
There's
yeah.
just something so, you know, intriguing about that movie. It stays. Anything, there's actors that do that for me.
Hold on.
One of them.
Did Carl Weathers get his arm shot off in The Firm, and did he keep firing his Tech-9 machine pistol?
That was interesting.
That was badass.
Oh, man.
I do it just for your arm.
My arm has been through so much, you know? Yeah.
So has mine.
Arms are that's a whole other kind
well, spending,
conversation.
Well, spending a lot of time with Stallone and Schwarzenegger, I mean...
Well, it's changed my accent a lot over the years, I'll tell you that. You know, I kind of talk out of one side of my mouth, and then I have the accent like this, you know?
Pretty good.
Yeah, yeah.
I know you're not going to say, but
okay.
If you just could...
Don't ask
if
me
if you could
Alex,
just hang out, if you just crack a beer with one of them, with Schwarzenegger or Stallone,
wow.
who do you pick? No, you're not saying that's the other guy's a bad
no,
guy.
No, no,
you're just
no.
saying you're just
no,
going to crack a beer.
I'll tell you what. If I had to just crack a beer with one of them, if I had to make a choice and, like, just put it all on the line, it would be Arnold. Mm-hmm. Here's why. Because he'd bring good cigars.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
I was thinking he would know really good beer.
Well, that's true. Well, okay, yeah. Austrian. Well, that makes sense, actually,
but,
in a long
okay,
way.
Then if we're going to crack a beer, yeah. A beer with Arnold, crack with Sly.
But a bump. I'm going to leave that one alone. On to the next one.
Actually, Sly is one of my all-time. The story of him not letting go of that movie.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
He has my dimensions. We're almost the exact same height and weight.
Really?
And he played the heavyweight champion of the world. What's he, like 5'7"?
Well, no, come on now.
5'9" tops? Yeah. Form shoes from the party channel.
Oh, well, yeah. Hey, baby. They work, okay?
But I was
looking up at you.
I met him at a party, and yeah. I had to fight an older gentleman for charity, and I didn't want to hurt him. And I said, what would you do?
Cronin.
And I think actually older
Hugh Cronin
that.
Probably took you out. He was a tough dude.
Actually, the old dude was a tough dude. I was a little bit scared because this guy was a real boxer once.
Oh, yeah.
And I said to Sly, this was so cool because he's my hero anyway. I walked up to him and said, can I ask your advice? I got to fight this older man. There's no way to win. If I beat him up, I'm a bully. If I lose, I'm just a wuss. What do I do? And he didn't beat an eye. Went, you kill him. He walks in that ring wearing a pair of gloves, looks you in the face, and you kill him. You go for his kidneys. And he goes on this rail of things I should do to this man. And I went, Jesus Christ, who knew this part of you was in real life?
Yeah, yeah. And he took it easy on him. But later, when Johnny Fairplay tried to dry hump him, Sly's words came back to him.
A flashback, right?
That's right.
Johnny flashback.
I have a pressing question.
Pressing.
I need you to take it seriously and don't make fun. Because I really...
Okay.
I really... I really want this to happen.
I just want to say one thing before you do that. I have to, you know, suddenly I have a flashback. It's, you know, every guy's wife says to him now, you don't take me seriously, you don't listen. You notice how she went right there?
Right,
I want you to take this seriously and listen.
Yes.
So I'm listening.
Was that effective?
And oh, man, I'm listening.
Okay. Would you consider going on Dancing with the Stars?
Well, I felt that lash across my back. Good Lord.
I think you would probably be a great dancer.
You know something? I truly, my wife has said the same thing. Hell no is my answer.
What?
Not interested.
Look at all the athletes that have done well on that
not
show.
Interested.
Is
just
it, wow,
not
you look great because you lift up those little girls.
I'm telling you, spin them around,
yeah.
Throw them in the air, catch them, get on my roller skates, go around the block, but, come back, and, you know, they're still in the air.
It is. It pays a lot
interested.
Of money, so you're all good for the dough.
You wait a minute, you're now, wait a minute. Now, back up. You
oh,
said
pays
what?
A friggin' fortune, that show.
A bunch of boxers. Evander Holyfield.
Oh, I saw him on there. He was fantastic.
Floyd Mayweather. Just
I
got
saw,
on.
Actually, you know something? I didn't see it because I was away. I was out of the country. I didn't know he was off the show. Is that what you're telling me?
He just got eliminated.
Well, I got to tell you, though, I liked him. I saw that a couple of times. Again, the only reason I watched it, because of my wife.
Okay.
I don't watch that kind of stuff.
Right.
But I watched this because of my wife. That's every guy's excuse, right?
Right.
But no, Floyd, I really dug him on that thing.
Yeah.
I thought he was so cool. He was so charming. You know, and in the media, of course, what they always come up with is they come up with the dark side of him because he's a boxer.
Right.
But on that thing, he was a sweet guy. And
yes.
I liked his style, man.
Good
he really
footwork.
Tried.
But
yeah.
Not for Carl Weathers.
Not this year. Right. It ain't going to happen, baby.
I'm going to give you a quick plug, and then we're going back to The Journey.
That's be a good idea.
The comebacks, the new movie, Sports Spoof. Our good friend David Koechner is in that as well. In theaters today. Now The Journey.
Can I just before you
yes.
go on? I got to say this, because Dave really has been amazing. I'm serious. one of the most amazingly generous actors I've ever worked with.
Nicest guy in the world.
I'm telling you, man, you know, guys get a bad rap in this business, you know, but Dave is genuinely one of the good guys and funny as hell. I mean, this guy is funny.
Talented, funny, and super humble and super sweet.
Absolutely.
He's from, like, Missouri, and I think you can tell.
That's the deal. I think that's the deal, man.
All the Starbucks and money can't undo 30 years in Missouri.
Yeah, and he's not, you know, he's not a 21-year-old kid that you know, watched television and somebody discovered because he was, you know, halfway decent looking, and he's on Dancing with the Stars.
He's not some nine-year-old redhead who played the bass in the Partridge Family. No, he's a regular human being.
He ain't, but he did try to faceplant me. But anyway, on to the journey.
All right, so now you audition for Rocky, the first Rocky. Yeah. Stallone, not a star yet. He had a dream. He wrote the script. He wanted to star in the movie. He's going to make the movie. Yeah. You get the gig. How do you find out you get the gig?
Wow. How did I find out I got that gig? I think I got a phone call. There was another gig that was there. Mm-hmm. And I had a chance to do this movie that was going to pay me a lot more money. Really true story. It was actually a Dino De Laurentiis movie, right? But it was not the script that you said, I got a chance here.
Did you read the script for Rocky and realize there was something here?
I begged to do that thing. I mean, as I was saying earlier, my agent gave it to me, said, you know, but there ain't a chance they don't want to see you. And man, I just like, you know, like a baby. Wah, please get me in there.
When you were making Rocky, did you realize what was going on?
Well,
did you feel this is history, or did you feel like this is just another movie?
Here's how naive I was, and this is absolutely true. I said to someone at the time, after we'd finished the movie, and hadn't seen a frame yet, right? And I mean, really naive, because I would never do this today. I know too much.
Right.
I said, I think this movie's going to be as big as Jaws.
Wow.
I'm not kidding you.
So now, here's
how naive I was, but here's sometimes how prophetic you are as an actor. I mean, you've been there and you just feel good about the project or the product, right? After that was finished, I'm working on Streets of San Francisco, taking you way back there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, back in those days, Quinn Martin, the guy who was a producer, you'd work on every one of his shows. I was like a repertory player. You'd play a good guy at the beginning of the season.
Quinn Martin production.
That's right. A bad guy at the end of the season. That's it. You know?
Now, if I know 70s television, they had you playing an accountant.
You're right. With gloves on, of course.
And a fur hat.
Yeah, exactly. No, I would be a cop in one part of the season. I'd be the bad guy who the cop's after. With Streets of San Francisco, Cannon, Barnaby Jones. He had a thing on called Tales of the Unexpected that I did
let me just explain something to the kids that are listening. Back in the day, we had three channels.
Right.
And
analog.
And three guys that made every TV show for the three channels. There was Aaron Spelling, there was Quinn Martin, and there was from the desk of, what the hell's his name?
I know you're jumping a little bit.
Who makes the A-Team and everything. But the point is...
Then we had Schwartz.
Yeah, there was Sherwood Schwartz and Stephen J. Canal.
That's right.
Stephen J. Canal, Sherwood Schwartz, Quinn Martin. The point is there were five guys that were responsible for everything. So if you were in good with one of the guys, you'd work in all their different productions.
Their shows. Right. Absolutely.
So you go off to do that. Meanwhile, they're editing the film and they're doing whatever it takes to turn the film around. It doesn't come out for what? Another year, nine months?
Back then, about a year. Right.
So have you almost forgotten about it at this point?
No, because I'm doing the Streets of San Francisco. I'm sitting there waiting. We're out on a dock, right? Waiting down there for the production to begin. I'm getting makeup done. Young guy walks up the dock and comes up and shakes my hand. Is really congratulatory. We saw the movie. We loved it, man. You were great in it, man. You were just unbelievable. Right. And he goes on and on. And then he says, you know, and I just did a little movie that I think is going to be as big as Rocky. And I'm sitting there like to myself, right, going, yeah, man, sure. You ain't even going to get close. This guy was Mark Hamill, and he just finished shooting Star Wars. So, out of the mouths of babes. You never know, man. You know?
So actually, it was Corvette Summer. Hamill was way off on
Come
that
on.
One.
No.
After, because I must have got the chronology wrong here.
That's the word.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You did Streets of San Francisco after Rocky was released?
No, it wasn't. It was released because guess what, man? I still, you know, if you remember, the movie was like insane, but people thought I was a real boxer.
Yeah.
It was like nobody thought I was an actor.
Right. So, and you didn't
know. You exuded charm.
You didn't have, but let me tell you something. Muhammad Ali screwed that up for everybody because.
He screwed it up, man. Because of Muhammad Ali, I had some play.
No,
are you
but
kidding?
What I'm saying is, is he was a boxer who was so charismatic that people just assumed that Carl Weathers was a boxer.
No, you got
was
it
so
there.
Charismatic.
You
know,
there's
there,
a scene in Rocky where you've decided you're coming up with the idea of giving an Italian from Philly the idea, and there's a shyster lawyer at a tie, and I remember his line is, "I like it. I think you got something here."
Right.
You are running three deals at one time. You're picking the Italian and why it's going to be the great American dream, and this is it, and that's why it's going to be great. Then you're cutting off the money and you're designing the posters all at once.
Yes.
There is no way that anybody mistook that man for that guy just boxes. Some of the best. When you ran those three
big
deals at once.
Jerry Corey couldn't have handled that role. Are you telling me right now?
Well, you got to tell people who Jerry Corey is now suddenly. You know what I mean?
Wikipedia. I don't got time for all your young asses. Here's the problem. I feel like we could do this for the next 2 to 3 hours.
Let's go. I'm here.
Carl.
I'm down, man. Let's go.
Remember when you were saying that the Josh Hartnetts of this world, the actors of today, are not charming and cannot conduct themselves?
Mm-hmm.
What about Carl Weathers?
Oh.
He's got stories. He's got anecdotes.
I feel like I'm dancing.
He should go on Dancing with the Stars, but he patently refuses.
Oh, well, wow. Boy, now suddenly I'm berated because I don't want to go on.
Interested. The Comebacks is the name of the movie in theaters today. And Carl Weathers, speaking of comebacks, how about you come back and we finish this? Because
Interested. Come on, Adam, I'd love to. Anytime you guys call, I will be
all
here.
Right. Carl Weathers, everybody. I don't even know why we're going to talk to Zach Levi,
not
the new star.
Interested.
Of Chuck. He's really the exact
Carl
same
Weathers,
guy.
What do you
as
think
Carl
about
Weathers?
The show, Chuck?
Not interested.
I know I'm going to be here forever.
Just
now.
Because I'm such a big fan of yours, Carl, would you have sex with me just once?
Not interested.
How about a long, long talk with me about Dancing with the Stars?
Not interested.
Carl Weathers.
We don't need you anymore.
Carl Weathers, I know your wife is listening.
You better listen to me.
Let's use some code. If you do want to receive oral from Teresa Strasser, say not interested.
Not interested.
Okay. We'll take a break. We'll be back.
Lord.
Can't get enough of Adam, Danny, and Teresa? Well, you're in luck. Here's Bald Brian's bonus B-sides on the Adam Carolla Show.
I love nuts. I just love them.
Hey, put down the fork, you fat pig.
Don't you know who I am? I spent all my money on drugs.
File that under who cares for now.
I'm effed in the head.
I try too hard sometimes, try and fit in, try to be funny, and then I get caught up and start talking too much. What a prick.
I've got 4 T-cells left.
By the way, I have herpes.
Mom, Dad, I'm a prostitute. That's the good news.
My mom...
Yep, that's the best of Bald Brian's B-sides. You hear the A-side at the end of every show, but then we have the collection of B-sides.
Not interested.
Man, that guy's not interested.
Yeah, and I wouldn't argue with Carl Weathers once he explains he's not interested.
Oh, no.
Well, from, I really feel like we're running the gamut here today. Zachary Levi, star of Chuck. New series on NBC Monday nights, doing quite well. Thank you, Zachary.
This is him.
Great to speak to you.
Good to talk to you too. How are you guys doing this morning?
We're doing great. Congratulations on Chuck.
Thank you very much. Have you checked it out?
Yes, I have.
I kind of put you on the spot there. I know that was a lot. But you answered correctly, and I appreciate that.
I may have seen it before you even. You were at Comic-Con, correct?
I was, yeah.
I saw it there.
You're kidding me.
Nope. I really pleased that, and boy, I hope the show isn't against you. The Bionic Woman, I thought were the two standout shows.
Oh, my gosh. Look, you even had the fun thing going on right there. Bonaduce, I appreciate that so much, buddy.
I will say this as it pertains to a lot of the new stuff like The Bionic Woman or when they do a new Batman movie or even a new James Bond movie. I like the old way. I like the James Bond that has all the gadgets. I don't like the new one that's sensitive and is getting his testicles tortured. I don't. The Bionic Woman is good, but I miss the campy Bionic Woman.
I think sometimes they
get too good and too edgy, and everyone does that thing where they go, oh, this is Batman. But this is a new Batman. He cries. He doesn't have a utility belt. He's 105 pounds. He's gay. It's like, I don't want that Batman. No. I want Batman. I want a guy with a cape and a belt and a thing and a car. That's what I want.
Well, in all fairness, I mean, they didn't need a gadget to, you know, torture the man's testicles and Bond. That was kind of a gadget, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a bar of soap and a tube sock. Awesome. So, Zachary, let's talk about Chuck, and let's talk about you.
All right, fine. Sounds good.
I am reading here that you like to do a little skydiving.
I've gone a couple of times. It's ridiculous. I recommend it to anybody. In fact, especially people who have a fear of heights. I think it'll cure it pretty quick.
I've had the pleasure.
But what if you had a fear of heights, then you go skydiving, and you get over your fear of heights, and then you get cocky, and you're at a party, and it's on the 19th story of some trendy hotel, and you're like, I'm going over the edge. And people are like, no, and you're like, no problem. And you plummet to your death. What if? That was too retarded to even answer.
Hey, if you're going to jump off the 19th floor, I think that you need, it's either your time to go or you need better friends.
Do they not want you, do the suits over at NBC not want you to do any more skydiving now that Chuck is a runaway hit?
Well, the skydiving thing is more of, you know, it's kind of every once in a while. I don't think, you know, it's not something I do with such consistency that they're worried about it. I do ride my motorcycles, which they're, at least my production company is not too thrilled with, so I've had to cut back on that.
It's a good way to figure out whether your show's going to make it to season two or not. Somewhere around the third episode, you just come pulling up on a motorcycle. And if a guy runs out with a clipboard and he's very nervous and he's like, could we please send you a town car? That means it's a hit. And if he says, what are you wearing a helmet for, pussy? That means you may not get picked up.
But motorcycles are, when you go to get insurance to do any series that lasts over, I believe, 6 weeks, you have to answer a whole bunch of questions. And do you ride a motorcycle is the first question, followed by private pilot, followed by tobacco smoker.
It's right.
Like the first thing they want to know, do you intentionally jump out of planes or do you intentionally ride motorcycles?
I unintentionally jump out of planes. That's what I like to do.
You're a commodity and they need to protect it. Well, Zach, if you don't mind me calling you Zach.
No, don't call me late for dinner, Adam.
What's the next move for you? Obviously, you're enjoying the success of Chuck. Do you want to start doing some more features, or are you looking at your own production, or are you just enjoying where you're at now?
A little bit of everything, to be perfectly honest. I got a couple of my best friends. One of them, Joel David Moore, who's an actor. He was in the movie Dodgeball, and he's in the new movie Avatar that James Cameron's doing. He and I and a couple of our other best friends have a production company, and so we're kind of doing our own thing. And then on top of that, you know, just trying to ride whatever this Chuck wave is as far as I can ride it and do some features for the studios if that pans out.
Well, I don't want to correct you, but let's call it the Chuck Wagon. He's riding that Chuck wagon.
How could I have been so stupid?
And Mick G is one of the producers or the executive producer of this. So it must be good to impress the boss because he's making really cool movies
and then he
casts you in one of them, right?
Absolutely. And not only that, but he's such a sweet dude. And Josh Schwartz, who, you know, created the pilot with Chris Fiedager, obviously is a very influential and talented guy. So, I mean, you know, and everybody at Warner Brothers and at NBC Universal. I mean, you know, I'm hoping to impress as many people as I can just so that they keep me in mind for whatever they're doing over at those studios. You know, I just want to work, baby. I need to pay the mortgage and put some food on the table and play some video games from time to time, you know?
Well, let me say this, Zachary Levi, star of Chuck. You should. Here's what I want you to do.
I like how you say that all in
That's
one.
Good radio.
That's very good.
It's called resetting. Yes, yeah.
That's what we got here.
That's why I won the Marconi 8 years running.
That's right.
Oh, wow.
No, I don't believe they have awards for this stuff.
But it was smooth nonetheless.
It was smooth.
It sounds good. It sounds very Euro.
Here's my relationship with awards in radio. Somewhere around year five of doing Loveline, producer Ann came in and mentioned in a sort of throwaway way that we had won syndicated show of the year. And then Dr. Drew and I said, really? When was that? And she said, oh, like 2 months ago. And we said, really? We never heard about that. And she said, oh, yeah. And then I said, do we get a plaque or anything? And she said, yeah, it's in my office back at K-Rock. And I said, well, could you bring it in so we could see it? And she said, okay. And that's the last conversation we ever had about it. I never saw the plaque. I have no idea if she's lying. I don't know when the award show was.
There was no plaque, Adam. It was actually just a ham steak that you were sent. And she ate it.
With my initials seared into it with a red hot coat hanger.
AC.
Hey, what I wanted to say to you sort of philosophically.
Oh, go with the philosophical.
You're young.
Yeah.
You're not jaded.
No.
And you are at the part of life and of your career that is, I would say, akin to the beginning of a relationship.
Sure, let's do that.
You meet a hot chick, a beautiful woman at a party, but at first you don't know if she likes you, and you get her phone number, but you're not sure if she's dating somebody else. And then later on, you guys will be bored of each other, let's be honest. But there's that part where you're taking your very first trip to Palm Springs. It's your seventh date, and you're going to Palm Springs, and you've never felt better about anything in your life. This is where you're at in your career. You're on a hit show. You're the star of the hit show. If you're a success 5 years from now, it doesn't matter. You'll never recapture this feeling. If you're a failure 5 years from now, it doesn't matter. You'll never recapture this feeling. Enjoy today, Zachary Levi.
Just really quick, just to recap, are you saying that I'm at the part of my career where I'm going to Palm Springs?
You are going to get laid in Palm Springs this weekend.
That's a first for me. I've never been at a Palm Springs departure in my career.
You are going to parachute into the Palm Desert.
Okay.
Into the white party.
What about like 29 palms? Can I go there?
It will be 28 palms after you're done landing on the 29th.
Oh, wow.
That's right.
You really know how to paint a picture.
But drink it all in. Enjoy it.
I am. I got to tell you, it's been the most incredible thing that's ever happened in my life. You know, it's ridiculously surreal to see billboards and commercials and stuff the way NBC and Warner Brothers have been pumping it. I can't tell you how much I appreciate it. And yeah, I don't know. The numbers have been pretty good so far, and I just hope that people enjoy watching the show as much as we enjoy making it. That's really all I want. And
we do, but who cares about the little people? Chuck,
you're not that little, Adam. You're kind of tall, are you not?
The rangy people. Chuck is on NBC Monday nights, 8 p.m. Zachary Levi, God bless. Keep up the good work.
God bless you guys. Thanks for having me on this morning.
Take care, man. Thanks a lot.
Good times. Wait a minute. Someone's on the phone with a compliment, perhaps. Sarah?
Yes?
How say you?
How say you?
I say, how say you?
I say, I am good.
All right.
How's it going?
It's going well.
Although the compliment is diminishing by the second.
And tell this, yes. You called to say what?
Who is this?
Oh, no.
That's why you called?
It's me, Adam Carolla.
Oh, good.
And me, Teresa Strasser.
And me, Danny Bonaduce.
I was just saying
interested.
No, I was just actually throwing you out a compliment that when I used to come home from school at 10 o'clock at night and used to be on Loveline, I would literally, like, laugh out loud. And that's kind of a hard thing for me to do.
So you're saying I used to be funny.
What about now?
Well, you're still funny. That's why I'm turning
right now. Oh, okay.
Thank
you. I'm
listening
person.
To NPR, but I am not.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're funnier than NPR, man.
Lose the weight, chubby.
You must rock.
You're funnier than that scandal about the Sandinistas smuggling human slaves into Contra-held territory.
I think it's pretty darn funny.
Hey, Sarah?
Yeah, you know, they'll have that news on later, so I can listen to that later. So.
Sarah, I'm trying to figure out whether you're hot or not.
I'm pretty hot.
It's weird because on one hand, I made you laugh, so you can't be hot. On the
why would you say that?
He's being self-deprecating.
Oh, I am, but I'm speaking from experience. Beautiful women oftentimes don't have a great sense of humor. And they say the number one quality they look for in a man is a sense of humor. And then you see them and they're getting it on with Tommy Lee in the Grotto. And you're like, he's the nicest guy in the world, but it's not the funniest guy in the world.
Once I've taken my pants off, they start laughing. And it's kind of a wash.
They do. Yeah, you get a lot of sense of humor, but not so much. But Sarah.
Yes.
What do you do? How old are you?
I just turned 32 last week.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a social worker.
Mm-hmm.
I have my master's, and I also play music,
mm-mm,
not professionally, but just, you know.
What do you play?
I play guitar and write songs.
And are you married, single?
Single.
Hey, look, you fat pig.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so not a fat pig. Ask your screener. He has my MySpace.
Why do you think you're single?
Because I'm picky.
Uh-huh.
That old chestnut.
Your standards are too high.
Right.
That's it.
Right.
I choose to be alone.
I'd rather be alone than with somebody who I didn't really love.
Would you like to be with somebody?
Sure, of course. Of course I would.
Mm-hmm.
But
what happened to the last guy? He had standards too? He loves it when I'm cruel to women.
Maybe a little.
The last guy, mm-hmm, I wasn't into. The mm-hmm guy before that, it just, oh my God, I don't know. I have poor choices.
Yeah, all right.
Sense to anybody?
Yes. Yeah.
You're a social worker.
And by the way, let me say, just because Sarah is single, I don't consider that an affliction. Does that mean there's something wrong with her?
No, but when you want to be in a relationship and you're not, then something's usually
out. It's very difficult to find somebody.
Sarah, you help people all day at work, but yet you can't help yourself.
That is depressing.
It's true.
Girl just called you and tell you you're funny.
Sarah, do you work with the elderly, with kids? What kind of social work?
Yeah.
The elderly.
That's tough because when you leave, you have that stink of the elderly on you. You know when you play.
Actually, not really, but.
You know when you play with someone else's dog,
mm-hmm,
and then you go home, and your dog's like, "What's going on?" That's what happens with you. You're single. You have the stink of the elderly on you. Yeah, like you smell like Polydent mothballs, and then you go out to a singles bar, and there's some 34-year-old good-looking dude, and he's like,
"Been gay.
What's going on?" Yeah. I smell golden girls. Does anyone else smell golden girls?
I'm kind of getting hot.
I smell
Rue McClanahan.
I smell denture adhesive.
You know, that's where that expression came from. You will rue the day. Came from having
sex.
Well,
Sarah, do you make home visits to the elderly that you're helping?
I do. Not all the time, but yeah, I do.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever give them sponge baths just to be nice?
No, I don't do that.
All right.
It's not that cool, yeah.
All right. Hey, Sarah.
Jesse.
I appreciate the compliment.
I really appreciate your show. It makes me laugh. And
thank you.
You guys are awesome.
I would say these days, no excuse to be single.
With the internet and
with
such?
With the internet, yeah.
I mean, I don't have a problem meeting people. I mean, that's not really the issue, but.
Okay. Are you Jewish?
No.
Okay, because I was going to say you go on that J date, but now you just go on Goy date.
Right.
And you're fine.
Match.com or Craigslist or whatever they have.
All right, baby girl. Yeah, we saw it. We checked you out on your MySpace. You're attractive.
Oh, thank you.
So you're going to be fine.
Yeah, I'll do all right.
Okay, baby girl. Thanks for listening.
Thank you, guys. Take care
of those old folk.
That's
all right.
Nice.
So, look, that's a tough gig.
Nice to talk to you.
They're old people?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
I'd say I was the angel of death if you sneezed twice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're over 80 and you're bugging me. Oh, dude, I'm pretty sure that sneeze is terminal. You got to go. I'm doing you a favor.
I couldn't see that. I could see myself working at some sort of home for models that had injuries sustained on the catwalk.
Right.
But I could never see myself.
A rehab facility for the models?
Yeah, these are models that fell off the end of the catwalk.
And you help them with their exercises to get back walking?
Like a baby bird that fell out of its nest.
You're a decent man.
I give them a sponge bath without a sponge.
You make sure they eat their three oyster crackers.
That's right. Now vomit into this trash can. That's right.
That's a girl.
That's right. I could see myself working with those folks, but the elderly, no. Tough.
Well, now somebody has a real compliment for you. On line
really?
Five.
Kellen? I don't know if I like the way this feels. Kellen, go ahead.
I was just calling because I wanted to give you a real compliment, and that girly wasn't doing so well at it, so.
Thank you.
But you actually do make me laugh my butt off every single morning, and I actually just text messaged my cousin, and I said I would behead anyone that says Adam Carolla isn't funny.
I love this girl.
Lose the weight, Chubby.
She's loyal.
You'd give me what if they said I wasn't funny?
No. I would behead anyone.
All right. Nice.
I got to take the shot. Adam Carolla is not funny.
Oh, no.
I got to see a chick show up here with a sword.
Yeah.
It's worth it to me to see a chick show up here with a sword. I will then admit that I happen to think Adam's really funny. But I said it. I threw out the gauntlet. Where's your sword?
If Danny's head came off, I don't think he could do radio anymore. But I still feel like the head would smoke.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
no
I don't
question.
Think I'd stop talking.
You'd be saying, give me a cigarette.
And hold it for me.
And hold it for me.
Roll my head closer to my hands.
And the head, while smoking, might mention something about Gretchen.
Maybe.
And possibly bite you.
All right, we need to take ourselves a break. I appreciate the dedication, Kellen. What's going on? Ah, that's right. We're going to the Playboy Mansion. When?
Yeah, we are.
The 25th. That's in the evening.
Teresa and I have the same plan for that.
What's the plan?
We're both on our crash course diet for the Playboy Mansion.
Yeah, dieting down because I've got to wear a skimpy costume.
Yeah.
Well, T's got to squeeze in her outfit, and Danny's got to squeeze out of his outfit.
Right, exactly.
Either way, you want to look good.
Should we get the over-under on what time I'm naked yet?
Oh. Ooh. Yeah, that's tough. What time do we start? 7 p.m.?
Yeah.
We can't go before 7.
Right.
I'd say we start the show and you're naked.
Well, if you say so, you're the boss, then I just do.
No,
I do the whole show naked.
We'll take a break. When we come back, we're going to give away a couple of tickets to the short redhead winner. As we've discussed ad nauseum, we need a guy with the big head to take pictures with me, someone with a big beak to take pictures with T, and a short redhead to take pictures with Danny. It's all relative. We want to look good.
Yep.
We have our winner. We'll do that next.
Playboy Mansion for Blotto in the Grotto. This year, Adam wants to assemble a crew of crack party commandos. So if you're a party veteran and you want to crash the Playboy Mansion, call 866-901-ADAM and maybe you can join the Ace Team.
I love that song. Yeah, Face and TJ and Luca and Hondo and Deke and Street. Back when guys had names. No offense, Chuck. But there was a time when if you're fighting crime, you had a name like Street, Luca, Hondo.
Hondo is a great one.
Yeah, now it's just a gay magazine. But back then, Hondo meant something. Now everything's gay. That's back in the day. If your name was Dutch, you were a man's man. Now you're on the cover of Colt Roundup.
It's true.
What happened? You gay guys, you stole all our machismo. We want it back. Where was I?
Blotto in the Grotto.
Well, I mean, you just take chaps, for example. Used to be that there were only straight guys who wore chaps.
Yeah, it was the province of cowboys.
Yeah, like a leather vest, chaps, cowboy hat, the whole thing, all that. It's all gone.
I didn't think that chaps ever looked that good.
I know, but at least it was the domain of the straight man, and now... Hondo in chaps. I mean, if someone said, hey, I want to introduce you to a friend of mine. He wears a leather vest and chaps. His name is Hondo. You'd be like,
I'd be positive he said my friend's name is Hondo.
Let me get my hep C vaccination before we go out for a smart cocktail, please.
So thanks for giving away my costume for Thursday.
Sorry, Hondo.
Do you know what you're going as, Danny?
It depends on my condition that day.
Right. Amount of bloat and such.
Yes.
Danny's dieting down for you people. That's the 25th. That's the Playboy Mansion. We decided to be good to get the A team together, or the Ace team together, as it were. We'd get the guy with the big head, the chick with the big nose. I want the maniacal laugher. We'll go after him later. But first, as voted for on AdamCarolla.com. The winner from San Diego, Jeff Walsh. Jeff?
Hey, Adam, what's up?
What's happening?
Not too much. Really excited.
Oh, wait a minute. You're winner, too. You're first runner-up.
Oh, no!
That was so cruel. How could you do that?
Wow. Well, it doesn't matter. I think we'll bring them both.
Oh.
I just want to talk to the first runner-up first. Brandon?
Hey, what's up?
All right. You can go to AdamCarolla.com, and I believe you can see Brandon at AdamCarolla.com. Uh-oh. Brandon smokes the weed.
Uh-oh. How can you tell?
He did one half of one laugh.
Yep.
And he thought it'd be a good idea to win a competition where he's shorter and his hair is redder than Danny Bonaducci. Brandon?
I have a job.
Do you smoke a lot of weed?
Not really, no.
When is the last time you smoked marijuana?
Probably been a few months.
Was you
really?
Wire?
Yeah.
Now, if I find out you're lying, I will disqualify you.
I'm not lying.
Should we test him?
Liar! Oh, no.
There you go. He doesn't want to be tested.
Oh, I didn't say that.
Brandon.
I just said, oh, no.
Brandon.
What's up?
It's been a few months. If we bring you to the Playboy Mansion and we test you.
Yep.
And we find out you're positive for marijuana, we will toss you out of the Playboy Mansion.
That's cool.
Now, I don't want that to happen.
Uh-huh.
And you understand it stays in your system for a few weeks.
Uh-huh.
Now, if you admit it now, son.
Oh, my God.
You won't have to urinate into Bonaducci's Dixie cup.
I got nothing to hide, man.
Okay. Well, let's move forward then.
Mm. Okay, but I actually have these tests at home.
That's what I'm saying.
I can just bring one. Are the results instant? The pot test?
Matter of fact.
Wait, those home tests don't work.
Oh, those home tests are brilliant, man.
Backpedaling already.
I'm just saying, my mom gave me one of those a long time ago, and it said I did like heroin or something.
So, Brandon, you smoked pot maybe a couple weeks ago?
No, a couple months ago.
And did you get off pot for a reason? Is there a job that you have?
Well, yeah, I'm at a job right now. And
you get tested?
Well, no, but pot makes me stupid, so.
All right. So you used to smoke a lot of pot.
You could say that, yeah.
All right. I knew the pot laugh.
There was pot in there somewhere.
See, the pot laugh goes on. The bong may go away, but the pot laugh lingers on.
Lingers on.
All right, so, Brandon, you are how old?
I am 21.
21. How tall are you?
5'2".
Yeah, buddy.
Wow.
What am I up against? What was he got?
I'm looking at all 5'6" and a half right here.
Oh, right.
And you are going to look like a giant.
Also, wait a minute. Brandon, watch your profanity, please.
Sorry about that.
Oh, okay, so you're 5'2", and you have red hair.
Yep.
Does anyone ever compare you to Danny Bonaducci?
I have gotten that a few times, yeah.
You have? All right.
Well, perfect. Actually, my dad looks more like him than I do.
Do you feel, maybe you should bring your dad, do you feel like you could hang back and, you know, put down a few beers and just get, you know, I don't need you up on stage. I don't need you behind a microphone. I just need you ready for when we pose for pictures.
Oh, I'm ready for that.
I need you standing in between me and the douche man and me and the guy with the 10-gallon head and the chick with the huge beak.
Hell yeah.
All right?
Hell yeah.
I'm telling you, we should hang tight
there.
Hell
yeah.
We should. We'll want to have these pictures framed because people go, you guys look awesome together.
I'm scared, though. I might still look like I have a big nose next to the big nose girl. Her nose was not that big.
Do you want us to enhance it?
Yes, please.
Photoshop or gag store?
Photoshop's fine.
Yeah, Photoshop. I'll tell you what we can do.
The big nose with the mustache and the big glasses and the eyebrows?
The problem is now you're making a joke out of it, and she's wearing the Woody Allen nose and glasses, and T's going to get it again. It's all relative. Where were we? All right, now our runner-up for the Blotto and the Grotto. Jeff?
I'm heartbroken.
You know what, Jeff? You're going, too.
Oh, that's awesome.
I like Jeff. He's very enthusiastic about
Jeff, how you came in second place. How tall are you?
I'm 5'4".
Mm-hmm. And how old are you?
26 years old.
And how red are your pubes?
Quite red. Quite red.
Fiery red?
Fiery red, you might say that.
Would you agree that most people with red hair, their pubes are way redder than the hair on their head? I guess it's not seeing as much light.
I've seen that once. Nothing prepares you.
No.
I mean, you guys have seen carrots out there. That's what I got going
down. It's a shocker.
And
you've got Carrot Top's head down there?
Yeah.
I did that once, but I was wasted, dude.
There's really, I mean, the whole thing about the red pubes is I agree, nothing prepares you. I mean, all the talks with the counselors, all the sit-downs with mom and grandma,
right.
All the tutorial videos, everything. It's like you think you know what to do when the plane starts to head toward the Earth, but you just panic.
Right.
Yeah, you can't know. Your sunglasses on, but even that doesn't prepare you.
You just, what'd you do? Just get in the crash position, T? Just get under the desk?
Well, you know the fellow.
Duck and cover.
He happens to be 6'7".
Yeah.
So that on top of
that. Oh, that's a lot of red pube.
Wow.
Here's the thing about the pubes and the red pubes, and here's why it catches us non-red pubes fellas off guard. People that have blonde hair, even natural blonde hair downstairs will be darker.
Yeah.
So it's a much lesser version of what they have on their head. The people that have the red hair have day glow orange pubes.
Yeah.
It's five notches up from what's on their head. See, we're used to whatever's on your head, there's a downgrade. This goes up. If you have a 60-watt bulb head, this is a 120-watt bulb pube. And that's what bumps us, right, T?
Yes. How could I have known? I would have thought it would have been just a downplayed version of the hair on the head. not so.
Yep. Putting the no bozo.
Yeah.
Hey, Jeff?
That's weird.
So you ready to come out on the 25th?
Oh, yeah. I'm definitely ready for this.
Okay. Again, we're going to need you to stand next to the douche. I was going to almost call him the douche man. The douche man. And take these pictures. Yeah, buddy?
Yes.
All right, hang on, because on line 4, Vicky from Los Angeles wants a threesome.
Okay, she's in.
With Danny. Well, hold on. Vicky?
Dude, I don't care if she's missing an arm.
You would like a threesome with Danny?
Dude, I've been fantasizing about it for like a week and a half, or then 2 weeks or so, since you've been talking about wanting to have sex in the grotto, Danny.
Not interested.
Okay, that was Carl Weathers, a rather large black man. Turning you down. Now you've got a tiny little white guy saying yes.
Oh, God. I'm devastated.
Who's the third person?
My boyfriend. We're swingers.
Now, Danny, do you go for that with the guy in there?
You don't understand threesomes.
Really?
There are rules to threesomes. Here's the rule to one guy, Danny two knows. Girls. Okay?
Okay.
One guy, two girls. The girls like each other.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? Everybody likes everybody in a guy with two girls, threesome.
Right.
One girl, two guys. Both guys like the girl. But the only physical contact, because if you even touch elbows, you're gay. So,
yes. The
only physical contact you can possibly have with a guy during a threesome with only one girl is a high five. And that's it. That's the law.
Unless, at the end, there's a kind of eye contact that we should never speak of.
Oh, no.
Because you may not touch him physically with your hand or with your elbow, and you may not establish traditional eye contact, but at the end, sometimes if the wind's blowing just right, that ceiling fan's on high.
Not.
What are the chances that both of these guys are hot?
There could be an eye contact that causes an infection. That's my greatest fear. I'll do a threesome as long as I'm wearing a welding mask.
Okay. Now, by the way, Amy's still waiting for her welding mask. She asks for it all the time. Where's the girl with welding mask? So what are the chances that both of these two are hot?
You mean the boy and the girl? The guy could be good looking but dumb. The chick can't be hot. Vicky, are you hot?
I'm pretty damn hot.
How old are you?
Well, people think I'm still in my mid to late 20s, but I'm not.
How old are you?
Do I have to say?
You don't have to say, but it would possibly. Well, no, if you're hot.
Danny, I'm about your age. I'm around your age.
You're almost 50 years old.
No, I'm not almost 50. I'm younger than you, but I'm in
48
my
years old.
Early 40s. I'm in my early 40s.
Mm-hmm.
47.
But that's a good thing.
I just threw up in my mouth.
Now, people think you're in your mid 20s because of your vocabulary or because of how you look.
Definitely not because of my vocabulary.
And now, what do you do for a living, Vicky?
I'm a little afraid to say.
Hey, buddy! As soon as she gets the walker up the ramp, she's a swinger. Even though she'll break her hip, she swings on that pole. Vicky, everybody! she likes this song. She likes new wave music. She's a swinger. She's moving around. She's going to be in the Grotto with Danny Bonaducci. Combined age, 151. So we'll get an oxygen tank and some of that head on. Speaking of head on, head on in the Grotto, everybody.
Apply directly to your forehead.
Jade, stage four, stage four.
This three-way involves Danny, Vicky. Yes? Go ahead. Sorry, Vicky. You were talking.
Well, no, I'm sorry.
Even the callers interrupt me.
I'm sorry, Teresa. No, I was just going to say, if you, don't say my MacBase name on my thing, please. But you have it there. Jeff has it there. And you can see me and all that.
All right. So you talking about our phone screener has it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Hey, Vicky.
Yeah.
Do you have kids?
Nope.
No kids.
No.
Now, this includes ones that were taken away by the state.
Yes, no kids. I've never popped one out.
And you can't say what you do, but can you give us a general arena?
You know what? It's on my MySpace page. If you look there, you'll see what I do, and you'll see why I don't want to say.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe
all right,
you shouldn't send something to my MySpace page.
Vicky,
I'll be able to see
I'm your friend, Danny. I'm your friend on MySpace.
Already?
Yeah.
Vicky, I don't want to discriminate, but I think you're too long in the tooth for a threesome with Danny.
I'll shut the hell up.
What?
I don't need to talk. I don't need to talk.
No, I like talking.
No, long in the tooth means old.
Yeah.
Not talking.
What? Oh, no, please. You will so not regret it. You will so not regret
it. I'm already regretting that I call Adam Carolla my friend. I don't think Adam Carolla.
But what about the dude? What about the dude? What about your boyfriend? Would your boyfriend sit by and watch Danny Bonaducci have sex with you?
Yes, he would, and he would be very happy that I'm having such a good time. He wants to make me
happy. He wouldn't interrupt Danny like, excuse me, Mr. Bonaducci, I know you're in my wife, but could you sign this lunch pail?
He's gay.
No, he wouldn't.
That's not a three-way. That's a guest star. That's totally different.
No, he has to approve, but he's already approved. I ran it by him already.
So wait, you and I are just having sex. He's not having sex with you at the same time.
Whatever.
Is he joining in?
He could.
Whatever
you want. If you prefer him not to, do him afterwards.
You've done this in the past.
Yes.
And he's joined in.
Yes.
Any contact with the guy? Does your boyfriend have any contact with the man?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Other guys have requested it, and that's a deal breaker for
it's
us.
It's got to be an uncomfortable turn down.
Yeah, I don't like to see it, and he doesn't like to do it, and I don't want to know. I don't want to go there, and neither does he. So
we'll try not to get too graphic here, but when you're with your boyfriend.
Yeah.
Is there ever a position where your boyfriend's behind you and the other guy's in front of you and they're kind of looking at each other from about 2 feet away?
Well, I haven't been lucky enough to have that yet. I look forward to it. But
what kind of swinger are you?
Wait a second. Let me tell you how this works, okay? This is around your third time with the same two people. You want to get, because the first time, unless you're me, because I don't care.
Right.
But a lot of people have to warm up to certain new people, and I just don't.
Right.
When a girl is in the position you are discussing, with a guy at one end and a guy at the other, and where they could high-five position, a really cool girl, and I don't mean to be demeaning at all, this is just a cool thing, will let you rest your beer or your ashtray on her back.
No.
Yes.
So do that.
See? I told you, man.
Vicky insists you use a coaster so it doesn't leave a ring.
Me and her boy are at either ends of the girl. We got big Arnold Schwarzenegger cigars in our hand. We're high-fiving. We're putting the ashes in the ashtray she's wearing between her shoulder blades.
Hold on. What are you calling the ashtray again, son?
I just separated from myself and created another personality so that this one could survive this conversation.
You splintered off?
Yeah.
Hold on a second, Vicky. I got to say this. If I ever did that, Alice, I get weird when I go to the supermarket and I establish eye contact with the guy who's running the cash register. I feel like I would need one of those divisions that they use in hospitals.
Yeah.
You know that thing where they have the hospital rooms open and the beds are 4 foot apart, but now it's time to change someone's dressing or change someone's diaper or pull the catheter out, and they slide that thing in? I would need that thing that slides in, the ones magicians use, you know, that they slide in front of the... Now, I could draw the curtain or do the thing with the blinds and say hi to the guy every once in a while, but I'd like to close it. I don't want to see. I don't want to see the husband or the boyfriend of the chick I'm with just staring me right in the eye. And then I wouldn't know how to answer. Like, I'd be scared. Like he'd go like, "How is it, man?" I'd go like, "You know, come saw. That's a 5.5. I mean, she's great. It's not her. I mean, it feels pretty good. Doesn't feel great. Or is that bad? How do you want it to feel?"
I'm just upset about where the ashtray is.
That's why I made a special thing about it's not demeaning.
No, it's cool.
It's sportsmanship on the girl's part.
Hey, she's being a good sport.
Hey, hey, Vicky.
Yeah?
I don't know. I just, I don't want to see a 45-year-old woman in the grotto. I feel like you've outgrown the grotto.
Dude, I so don't look that old. It's not the number, man. It's such a big number, but I'm so not like that. I will be the first one to rip off my clothes and jump in the pool. I'm a party starter. I don't look old. I have the body of a 20-year-old. My boyfriend tells me all the time, and he's
all
not
right.
lying.
Let me give you a number. 86. Thank you. All right, we're running way late. We need to take a break. Get her on. Find her online.
I will kill you, man.
Find her on your MySpace. We need to take a break.
Yes.
Tease the news.
Very special treat in the upcoming news. Have you seen today's LA Times, Adam? I'm sure you've read it cover to cover.
Sure.
Story about Huell Hauser and you.
No.
Yes.
Good times. Next.
In the Grotto with the Adam Carolla Show.
Larry Miller, comedian and dear friend Larry Miller, will be there as well. Don't know if that was in there. T.
Yep.
News, baby girl.
That's important to me.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
We're driving to Florida.
God, I love that, Brian.
The Los Angeles Times has a new section. It's called The Guide. Today is the premier issue. I love it already, Adam.
Mm-hmm. Why?
Well, I'm flipping through out there in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like this, the guide. Wonder if they'll hire me. Then I was thinking, hey, looks like a story on Huell Hauser.
Boy, this is going to be fun.
I wonder if anyone's connected the dots. I mean, you talk about Huell Hauser frequently.
Huge fan.
And have for a while.
Yes.
So I start reading, Huell Hauser's Hidden L.A.
This is very interesting.
L.A. loves to hate Huell Hauser, the host of PBS's super low-budget California's Gold.
Now, I got to tell you, things look pretty slow right here, but
what
I
mean
think it's going to pick up.
Hold on.
Loves to hate him.
The Simpsons have parodied Howell, which I didn't know. Yeah. And Free FM 97.1 morning host Adam Carolla has been a one-man jihad against the guy, mocking him daily for everything from his Tennessee accent to making, quote, a big deal out of nothing.
You're scum.
But try walking
mocking
down a street.
Him daily.
But try walking down a street with Hauser without getting bombarded by fans. Even Carolla admits he's, quote, secretly wildly jealous.
Bombarded means literally hit with produce.
Even Carolla admits he's secretly wildly jealous of the SoCal legend who arguably has the best job in L.A.
Inside the glory hole.
I have said this many times. I've said horrible things about Paula Abdul, and I've said horrible things about Huell Hauser, but it's only because I'm jealous. They have show business gigs where they don't have to do anything.
Would you like to hear three of Huell Hauser's favorite discoveries?
Okay.
Number one.
I know what number two is. Number
the
two.
Glory hole.
Number two is the foam wind protector on the end of the microphone he was using. In season 19, he discovered that one and was blown away. Please tell me it's the old man with the coffee can filled with gravel.
Interesting. His first of the three favorite discoveries he shares with the LA Times, the rock gardens at the Los Angeles Police Academy.
Sure.
That's interesting.
Right.
Very few know about the rock garden built in the 30s with prison laborers.
Right.
You can rent that space, according to Huell. Also, Judson Studios in Highland Park.
Yeah.
You can get stained glass windows. And lastly, the French Garden restaurant off an alley in an industrial part of downtown L.A.
Right.
Tell me about all these rocks.
Let me explain what a rock garden is. It's a garden without a garden.
Right.
It's a garden before there's a garden there.
It's rocks that I picked up over a period of years.
Obsessed with rocks. Let me hear the old man in the rocks, please.
Tell me about all these rocks.
Yeah.
It's rocks that I picked up over a period of years.
It's Mike wandering around.
Wow, this is amazing.
The bad news is Huell talks to old-timers who collect gravel. The good news is they're not competent enough to mic them correctly, so we don't have to listen to them dying into the microphone.
Every other word.
You all have earned your pay right now.
How about when he's at the Baghdad Cafe and he's having a conversation with a guy on a phone, and the guy on the phone is not mic'd?
It was tough to piece together.
Awesome. All right, T.
Howdy, how you doing?
Oh, let's just listen. Let me just listen. On the phone.
Well, we're just doing an interview here, finding out about the Baghdad Cafe. Is that picture in there of Burt Lancaster? Why is there a portrait of Burt Lancaster
ever
in here on the wall of the Baghdad Cafe? Oh, you just bought it. He's never actually been here.
All right. That's all you need to know. That's all you need to know. You see, any other production company would have edited that part out and said,
well,
the part,
it looks good.
The part where you're talking would have been, here's how the conversation would have went. Huell. Yeah. We got a problem on a multitude of levels here. A, the guy on the other phone, not Mike. So yeah, that's number one why we can't use it. But as if we needed another reason, you asked him about the Burt Lancaster picture and he just bought it. That's reason number two why there's nothing there. We can't use that.
If we're that having was a ball out here.
Paid television, that would be unusable. That's why I'm jealous.
Is that what it is?
If they could put American Idol on PBS and I could get a gig judging, that would be my dream job. Just me, Huell Hauser, and Paula Abdul all getting a big paycheck and doing nothing. T?
Yes.
Sorry, girl.
On to politics. House Republicans very upset with Democratic California Representative Pete Stark from Fremont. I don't know if you've heard or seen this on YouTube, but it's
yes,
gotten to be very popular. Here is Pete Stark. He's talking about the Republican Party and attacking them for claiming there's no money to fund children's health care while spending billions on a war that's being carried out for Bush's amusement.
The Republicans are worried that we can't pay for insuring an additional 10 million children. They sure don't care about finding $200 billion to fight the illegal war in Iraq. Where are you going to get that money? You going to tell us lies like you're telling us today? Is that how you're going to fund the war? You don't have money to fund the war or children, but you're going to spend it to blow up innocent people if we can get enough kids to grow old enough for you to send to Iraq to get their heads blown off for the president's amusement.
P.S. He's angry. Old white guys aren't any good at this stuff. They're just not.
Not getting angry?
You wish you had... You won't spend enough money to save the young kids, but if you did and they got old enough and enjoined in this man's army, you'd love it if those guys went to Iraq, the hole that you're throwing money into, and then got their heads blown off. Consarn it.
Do you want to hear from another...
Good gravy. I'm angry.
You want to hear from another old guy?
Yes.
An old white guy named Hugh Hefner is kind enough to have us to his mansion on October 25th. He was asked, would he have Britney Spears pose naked in the pages of Playboy?
Hell no. I wouldn't have that young upstart little floozy pose naked in my doggone magazine.
I hope that, her career gets on track, back on track. I hope her personal life gets back on track. And that if that happens, we'd be happy to have her in the magazine.
Hey, you kids, get off my lawn.
That's a giant lawn.
Find somewhere else to play.
Yeah, they'd be happy. Well, I'm not sure if she will because it would be officially over for her. And I think guys would be disappointed in general.
Seeing Brittany naked?
By the way, what parts of her haven't we seen yet?
Oh, no, I know the parts of a 48-year-old swinger I'm not going to see, bitch.
Vicky. Well, you can still meet Vicky on MySpace.
Well, let me say this.
That's cheating. I'm not allowed to.
It's not exactly playing hard to get.
You could go and buy yourself a Playboy magazine and see a semi-nude Britney Spears standing strategically behind some sand candle or something. So we couldn't see her crotch, or we could just go Google Britney's vagine and see a shot of her getting out of a cab right now.
You'd have your choice of shots.
I'd go with that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do.
I will leave you with this from the medical journal Clinical Endocrinology. Short people are significantly less healthy than people who are tall or even average height.
Goddamn right.
The main reason.
Now I'm having another three-way.
The main reason.
I'm going to die of shortness.
Being short makes people bitter and angry at life, which takes a real toll on their mental health.
Goddamn right.
And the bad mental health eventually hurts their physical health. In the study, men who were shorter than 5'4" and women who were shorter than 5 feet reported much worse health than anyone else. According to the doctor who headed the study, if a short person was just 1 inch taller, it would have a positive impact on his or her health. It would have no effect on a tall or average-sized person.
Hmm. Surprised it affects the women as much.
Yeah. I know
women are much more sensitive about their physical appearance, but society doesn't really care.
No, most society thinks that really short women are above 4'11" are cute.
Right.
Yeah, well, this study is women 5 feet exactly.
All right. So the bad news is they go into the ground earlier.
Because they're bitter and angry.
The good news is they're closer to it to begin with.
Well, also you have to dig a smaller hole.
That's right.
I'm Teresa Strasser. That's the news.
Come on, Baldy.
Tomorrow's news. Today, Teresa Strasser. You, CNN.
We'll take a quick break. Be back with some NFL picks next. All right, guys, gather around. Grab a knee.
There are five levels of drinking.
Gentlemen, and I use that term loosely. Helmet's not a chair. Let's go. Break it down. Let's make our NFL picks for this week. Money's going to charity. I'm 13-7 overall. That's against the spread. That's not bad against
Pretty
the
good.
Spread. Danny is 8-12. T, 10-10. And my dog, Molly, who has to have her anal glands expressed, cannot be here this morning to make her pick.
That old excuse.
She is 5'11.
I always say that.
Same excuse Jimmy the Greek used to get back in the day when he couldn't make a pick'em day. Shall we get started?
Yeah.
St. Louis, my beloved 0-6 Rams. And the good news is like somebody who has cancer take over their body and there's no longer any chance that they're going to survive the next month, there's a part of me that's at peace. You see, the Rams at 2-4, 3-3 still gives hope. At 0-6, I can emotionally detach myself from the corpse. 0-6 Rams over at Seattle. Seattle giving them 8.5 points. T, how do you see it?
I'm going to go with your beloved Rams.
Mm-hmm. I am going to go with my now beloved Seattle Seahawks, even though they're giving away 8.5 points, which means Bonaducci is going with my beloved Rams.
Exactly.
If I have my math right. And again, you picking the opposite of how I pick is not a bad strategy, not only in football, in life, everyone. Kansas City at Oakland. Hard to tell what's going on with the Oakland Raiders. Kirk Morrison on the show every Monday. Linebacker, great guy. Oakland looked strong and then bit it against San Diego. Maybe they're back at home, T?
I think they're back at home. I'm taking Oakland.
Oakland is giving away 2.5 points. I'm taking Oakland as well.
So who am I taking?
Kansas City.
Damn right I am. They're my favorite.
They're playing better themselves, Kansas City. San Fran.
I'm playing with myself because you ruined my three-way.
City by the Bay, San Francisco at New York, playing the Giants. Giants giving away 9.5 points. T, how do you see it?
A lot of points. Of course, San Francisco's my team. Mm-hmm. This one's really tough. I am going to take... Who are you taking?
I'm going to take the New York Giants. San Francisco's without Alex Smith, I believe, their quarterback. And the Giants have been putting points on the board.
Yeah, big offense. I'm taking the Giants.
All right. We're both going Giants. That means the douche man is going San Fran.
Damn right he is.
Last game. Pittsburgh Steelers. Giving away 3.5 points at Denver. Playing the Broncos. Broncos not off to a good start. Hard to tell who's going to show up Sunday. How do you see it, T?
Well, our own Mike Chaffee told me this was the lock of the week and to take Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
He said it was the lock of the week.
Mm-hmm.
That Denver can't stop the run.
Mm-hmm. So the locks of the week said it was the lock of the week. Interesting.
Pittsburgh.
All right. I'm going Pittsburgh on this one, too. Danny?
I'll be taking the other team.
Denver. That's right. Now, just in case there's a tie, T-Bone.
Points?
Points. The over-under is 39 points. That's how the paper has it.
Are you guys going to screw me? I'm taking 37.
37. We will not boxcar you in. I'm going to go 40. I'm going to go 40 points on this one.
All right, so how do, I don't even know what we're doing. So how do
well,
I not
if
boxcar?
I were you, I would go under 37.
Right, but I mean, I want to be a gentleman like you just were. Oh, I don't know where you did,
if
what
you
happened.
If you want to be a competitive gentleman,
yes.
I'd say you would go 40. I gave 3 above T. I would go 43. T will go 37, I'll go 40, you go 43. That boxes me in but leaves a little padding one way or the other.
But what if I went 35?
You could go 35, although technically maybe you should go 34 if we're giving our in threes pad. So you can go 35.
I'm going to go 34.
30.
I don't know what the hell I'm talking about, and I want 34.
34.
You know what's interesting about this part of the show for me? Mm. It's kind of like drinking. Mm. I'm participating completely, yet have no idea what's happening to me.
You
could just say to me right now, tomorrow, you could come up with, if you have a straight face, because I trust you, and say, well, you lost. You owe $8,000 to my charity. And I'll go, okay, man.
Well, keep that in mind for Monday. All right, there's the football picks. We'll give you the winners on Monday morning. We'll take a quick break. Be back to wrap it up next. Well, I'd like to give some thanks where thanks are due. I want to thank Sean Penn.
No kidding.
What was he doing on this show? I recognize that name. Sean Penn, Into the Wild, in theaters now. Looks like a great movie. Carl Weathers.
Not interested.
Doesn't have to be nice, but he chooses to. Carl Weathers, The Comebacks. It's in theaters today as we speak. Zach Levi, Chuck of Chuck. Monday nights, 8 o'clock, and of course, our own Teresa Strasser. I should say Monday nights, NBC at 8 p.m. Our own Teresa Strasser. TV water cooler?
Not interested.
It's 8 o'clock tonight on the TV Guide Network, and then you can watch her on TMZ TV. Aren't you complaining not interested, Paul Bryan? You can catch her on TMZ.
Not interested.
That's right. Check TMZ.com for local listings. Unless, of course, you're
not interested.
Till next time, it's Adam Kroll saying mahalo.
Dude, I waited for you, man.